Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This microphone on. Did you bleep that out? I hope. Hi. Why are you wearing sunglasses?
Because I'm cool.
I deal with high school boys, and I feel like I'm still continuing to deal with high school boys. All right. Amy Jacob is in here. John Anthony in for Dan, who let us know, like, what, 10 o'clock last night he's not coming in?
Well, I got the call, and I said, okay, I'll be there.
All right. Well, you did an event last night, right?
Yeah, I was in LaSalle County at Gun Save Lives.
Gun Saves Lives?
Yeah.
All right, what is that?
It's a place where they defend the Second Amendment and make sure government's not overreaching as it relates to the Second Amendment. I gave a very powerful speech.
What did you talk about? Give us a little recap of your speech.
I talked about government overreach, tyranny, and just how Illinois, the way we live here under the Second Amendment, and I made an example about in Arizona. You know, you can go in Arizona in a bar and make a gun exchange.
Really?
Yeah.
I miss
that. That's freedom.
I mean, when I lived in Texas, you could walk around open carry.
Yeah.
And people would sit in their car with rifles.
Yeah.
Nobody was afraid of guns.
I know. That's freedom.
And then you come here or you come to Detroit.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, you want a weapon? Ooh. Yeah. I remember I had the lady cancel a play date once.
What?
When I was at Blaine. She's like, well, I heard you own a weapon. I said, oh, it's secured and the ammunition is separate from the what? Because when I had kids, I was very.
When you had?
I mean, not had when I had younger kids at home. Well, I'm an empty nester now.
Mm.
Don't worry.
Must be nice.
You.
It won't happen to me for the 12 years.
I'll get you through counseling and charge you for it when it does happen.
Appreciate it.
But I remember her calling saying, well, I heard you have a weapon, so I'm not going to allow my son to come over there for a play date. And I thought, and I told her the safety lock there, the chamber's clear, the ammo's here, this area, and it's in a locked gun safe.
Yeah.
And a pie and a back of
right.
a cloth.
You know? But if somebody had come into your house and did something and you protected her child, then what?
Right. Well, yeah. I'd have to work like a ninja to run in, grab the ammo, and then scale something to get to the...
That's too much.
I know. It's a little ridiculous.
And you live in a place where crime is starting to go up. But
now I don't have to worry about play dates.
Right.
That's if anybody's having a play date, it's mama.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm sorry, my eye cannot stop. I'm not crying.
That's why I have glasses on, too. I got poked in the eye, and it just hasn't been
right. How'd you get poked in the eye?
My daughter.
Oh, dear Lord. Pardon?
My daughter poked me in the eye. It just hasn't been right since she poked me.
Okay.
In the eye.
Oh, your baby girl?
Yeah.
How old?
Seven. Six. She'll be seven. Oh, yesterday was my Kylie's 11th birthday.
So you have 12 children.
It was, something like that. Close to.
No, you have five daughters.
Five daughters.
And a grandson.
And a grandson. August John. Oh, he lights up my day.
Good. I'm so glad you have that. Isn't that a gift from God?
My goodness, it is. He's just so refreshing. I see him wake up and, Papa, Papa. That's what he calls me.
Oh.
Papa. And I was the first name, even before he said Dada Mama, he was saying Papa.
He was saying Papa.
That's right. I got that touch. Now I got to potty train him.
You know what you got to do?
What's that?
You got to put Cheerios down on the toilet.
Oh, Amy.
And let him hit it with the Cheerios.
I am the potty trainer of my family, and Deborah's family.
All right, what's your technique? What do you
do? Oh, I can't give that out. You have to pay for that.
You can't pay for it.
That has to be paid for.
Sponsored by Black and Right Radio.
That's right. Somebody has to pay for that.
Potty training tip.
Honestly,
with John Anthony.
All of my kids.
I can do the open for it.
All of my kids were potty trained pretty much before a year old.
Before a year?
A year old.
Okay, now you're bragging.
I'm not bragging. I got a really good technique that I use, and it works.
Come on. There's some grandparents out there.
Hey, grandparents, you want to pay for that? Hey, blackandrightradio@gmail.com. Send me an email.
Seriously?
No.
You're going to be that guy?
No. Well, okay, I'll give you one thing. I know who, like, a character they love. So I buy undies for that character.
Okay.
And they don't want to ruin or soil that character. That's one of them. Yeah, they don't want to, you know, mess on Spider-Man or my son, he was Spider-Man.
He was Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was everything to him. So he didn't want to ruin Spider-Man.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So, well, I don't have to yell, scream, or anything.
And I remember my sister, Ginny, she kept, she had accidents until she was 3 years old. Whoa. And Grandma Ginny finally just whacked her on the tuchus. And that was the end of
that.
But I have to tell you, my accountant told me, he said, do you know how much money you're, because I have two kids back to back. He said, do you realize how much money you're spending on diapers?
Hello. Yes.
$10,000 a year I was spending just on diapers.
Yes. Well, I had Irish twins, my first two.
Ooh.
And then I had twins at the bookends. So I know how much they cost, especially now. They're much more expensive now.
And in this, you know, Biden world that we live, you got what is up with gas?
Yeah.
I gassed up. It was 75. I filled up my tank, $75. Last time I haven't seen prices like that was during the Obama administration.
Yeah. What's the price out where you were?
Oh, in Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, it's I'm not gassing up out there.
It's $3.99 where I'm
at. Oh, it's almost $5.
$3.99.
$5. It's almost $5. So we're back to where we were before.
Yeah.
What is it? Oh, Bidenomics is supposed to be working. Oh, there's no inflation.
Yeah. I thought that Inflation Act was supposed to, you know, stop all this.
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So Brandon Johnson, by the way, and we're going to get to the border because, oh, my God, did you see what happened?
I did.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that at 5:30 in this new squatter squad because squatting's the new thing, which... You used to be a police officer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was.
There are laws in every state in this country that protect squatters.
Yes, yes.
How is it? Because a lot of people have second homes, and a lot of people don't have security cameras, so they don't know if anybody is living in their home or broke into their home.
You know, the way I found out about squatter rights was when I first went into the General Assembly and the Realtors Association, and they were fighting a bill in Springfield about squatter rights. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I'm like, wait, you come in my house? I go to vacation and I come home and you're there? Oh,
that's
brother.
My friend Todd, that happened to him. He has a condo in Chicago.
Yeah.
His so-called friends, he was on vacation. Mm-hmm. They went into his house and they refused to leave for almost 9 months.
No. And it's not going to
nine months.
No. They're getting out of my house.
Well, Cook County Sheriff finally, you know, their squad came in and finally got rid of him. But you have to file paperwork. Yeah. You have to
eviction,
and you can't get into your house to get your own stuff.
But you still got to pay the mortgage on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the electric bill and the water
everything.
Bill, everything.
While
property taxes, the home assessment fees for the month.
My wife's mother.
That's the first time I was ever became familiar with a squatter. And he was a producer at Fox 32. I'm like, wait, what is going on?
My wife's mother always say living high on her life of Riley. I don't know what that means.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I interrupted you. So how does it work with Illinois?
What?
When you were in the Illinois General Assembly.
Look, I don't think that bill passed, but that was the first I was introduced to squatter rights. And I'm like, wait, they have the same right, pretty much the same rights as homeowners? Are you kidding me? No, come into my house while I go on vacation. It's not going to end well for you. I'm telling you.
Well, there is a South Korean squatter who's in Seattle who makes $400,000 a year living in a $2 million place. And the South Koreans don't like when other South Koreans besmirch their image.
Yeah.
Because South Koreans, you know, they're consider them very honest people, obviously, and just uphold the law and think that this is a law that should be abolished. But they're embarrassed by this one South Korean who lives in Seattle who's a squatter. So guess what they're doing?
What they?
They're publicly shaming him. They're putting his picture up. On street corners?
No way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, here's the story.
Get out. It's my house.
Let's pay the rent to the guy.
I am going to. And I'm making, I'm, you know, he doesn't understand this, you know, system here in state.
Get out, come in!
How is the Korean community interpreting what's happening here?
They are not aware of this. They're usually a landlord or hardworking business people. They would never imagine a Korean descendant taking advantage of this poor, broken system like this and embarrass not only his family, but entire community. So I was chanting, if you're not going to pay, you shouldn't stay there. And I also called them out as a con man. Sagikun. Sagikun means con man in Korean. What this is going to do is I'm going to provide high-resolution picture of them and ask all the Korean medias to post this on their newsletter and online website and actually have them get famous. Every restaurant he goes, every Korean restaurant he goes, every Korean markets he goes, so everybody recognizes him. That way, he's not only just embarrassed to move out of the place, but move out of the state once and for all.
Oh, man.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line, our text line is 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment.
Before you go to call, I mean, if you put up a no trespassing sign and somebody still enters your home, they're now trespassing because there's a clear visible sign that says no trespassing. So call cops, and the cops don't do nothing. I'm telling you, that's worth going to jail over. That's worth for me. That's worth going to jail. I will take whoever's in my house, I will snatch them by their neck and throw them out of my house. Remember the Fresh Prince?
Oh, yeah.
Remember how he got thrown out?
Oh, that's right.
That's what I would
do.
That's
what you're
going to
do.
I'm going.
Business owners, now's the time for your business to make the move to a locally owned business bank. Hi, Mike Gallagher here to let you know that you don't have to look far. Signature Bank was founded in Chicago with a simple mission: to help companies like yours grow, succeed, and thrive. Their decisions are made locally by a terrific team that knows your name, cares about your business, and invests in your success. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. I'm a customer. As business owners, they knew that local family-owned businesses were not getting the help they needed or deserved. So I invite you to reach out to my friends at Signature Bank today. Write the number down. Remember this phone number, Signature Bank, 773-467-5630, and learn all about this great bank, 773-467-5630, or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm on record with that right now.
Hello. Oh, I forgot. George Hoffman's in for Justin, and he just arbitrarily decides to turn your mic on and off. But you're not going to do that today, because I got a potty mouth. Thank you. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line, 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Did you see the video? Did it make you feel?
I didn't see it. I heard about it.
You mean, no, the migrants coming in?
Yeah, I didn't see the. That's why I said that you tweeted out, because I wanted to see it.
Oh.
I didn't visually see it. I just heard it.
It looks like we are a third world country under attack. They're cutting through razor wire. Then they push our National Guard to the ground.
Physically?
It was 400 people
storming
through the border. And then they get to another fence where there's another line of protection. But they've got their guns out. They're swearing. I mean, you know what it is? It's an invasion.
Military
Dan Prof doesn't think it's an invasion.
Military age.
Oh, yeah, mostly all men.
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. You got to see the video, but here's a still pic if you want to see that real quick. That's a still picture of it. I mean.
Oh, I did see the video on TikTok. I saw that.
Yes.
I didn't know that's what that was. They were
tussling. Yeah, that was El Paso.
Yes.
And
yes.
I looked on KVIA's website because I used to work there. And that happened Thursday, what you just heard.
Yeah.
It happened the day before, too.
Oh, that was important.
Has anybody heard anything from President Biden? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line, 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Because what's the breaking point here?
Yeah.
I mean, the National Guard overrun by migrants rioting to get across the border in El Paso. Now, no American supports this, and people are fed up with this invasion.
10 million people is an invasion.
10 million.
10 million. And that's the ones we know about.
And these people look desperate. I mean, there's certain people that are crossing in California with their Louis Vuitton bags and their neck pillows and their Beats. And then you have the Haitians who are just desperate for food and just, you know, clinging on a raft trying to get to Florida.
Which is truly a
And then you have these monsters, all adult age male. I think I saw one woman in that whole mob,
because
that's what it was, trying to break into our country.
But that's truly an asylum situation, what's happening in Haiti. You got a guy barbecuing and eating people.
Well, okay. You mean barbecue?
Barbecue.
Okay, so barbecue's a former police officer, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And he got his nickname because he likes to watch his enemies burn. Now, he doesn't eat them.
Well, there was a video of some guy pulling off a piece of the flesh.
And doing what?
Eating it.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you.
Was his name Barbecue Junior?
Barbecue Junior. It was on Twitter. I mean, TikTok.
Really?
And he took the video down.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And we still have 1,000 Americans still stuck in Haiti. And but that's asylum. Biden didn't do anything to help them.
Right. But that's somebody.
You mean those people? Oh, yeah.
The Haitians, because what's happening in their government, you know?
But, I don't think we want our country taken over by Haitians.
I'm sure Biden doesn't. Oops. Did I say that out loud?
You're sure
I said the quiet part out loud, that Biden doesn't. Yeah.
All right. Well, here's a Border Patrol agent. His name is Orlando Rubio, and he wanted people to know. This is what makes me laugh. I love our Border Patrol agents, but they want people to know this isn't a port. This isn't a legal port of entry.
We need to educate the community that this is not an international port of entry.
I mean, they're criminals. They don't know what's legal and illegal.
Yeah, they wouldn't care.
No, they see America. Mm-hmm. They want to go to America. Mm-hmm. And the reason, so they apparently, according to KVIA, the people that were arrested were deported back to Mexico. But Mexico's saying they're not taking any people back.
Yeah. Don't forget the cartels are pushing a lot of this, too. So these people are under threat of death if they don't get in and bring in the fentanyl and all those type of things, too. But that's the part we're not talking about. And as it relates to what's happening at that border, it's just not people coming in. You know, there are people with nefarious reasons who want to come in and hurt Americans in America. And we're not talking about that.
And American, you know, Hispanics or Latinos, or as some people call them, Latinx, which I don't use that word. They're the most fed up of all.
Yeah.
Because they're here. Mm-hmm. Most of them are here legally. Mm-hmm. And when they came here, they didn't get a place to live.
No.
For
a check.
Not even a week, for 9 months.
Right.
They didn't get three meals a day. They didn't get clothes. They didn't get their clothes laundered. Yeah. They change their sheets every day at the hotel in Chicago.
They're getting their clothes laundered?
Oh, yeah. You didn't. If you're staying at a hotel, the Standard Club, Chicago Inn, if your sheets are dirty, you want new fresh towels, the thing. Now, the reporter who brought all of this to us is Jenny Tare. She's with the New York Post. Mm-hmm. She was right there. She's the one who caught this amazing video, and she's been there for a while.
When we had arrived here, there was a group of about 600 migrants that had amassed along the border wall, separated by demographics. So it was single adult males on one side and the women and children on the other side and families. The single adults seemed to be being turned back by Texas National Guard here to Mexico in small groups because the number of people that were here was so overwhelming for them. So when they were being pushed back and started realizing that that was their fate, they started to become more and more agitated, yelling at our cameras, yelling at the Texas National Guard, which there were only a few down here, so they were completely outnumbered. And you saw, within a matter of seconds, a complete takeover by the migrants who had crossed here that had overtaken all of the National Guard's territory here, that had run up to the fence in a group of about 200 to 300, encircled them. Basically, the National Guard disappeared. It was very worrisome because you had yelling, you had banging. You didn't know what was happening to those guardsmen, and it was almost like their worst fears realized.
That wasn't all, because then she saw Hezbollah and terrorists that were coming. And one Hezbollah member, once he crossed into America, threatened us with a bomb.
You know, we've seen a big shift in recent years after covering this for a number of years. It seems like there's been a lot more agitators. It seems like there's been a lot more stories of people coming with criminal histories that are gang members, that are on the terror watch list. We just had a man who was a Hezbollah member that crossed into El Paso, and he threatened to make a bomb when he spoke with health personnel in the processing center. And that's just one story that you're seeing. It seems like those are happening more frequently. And this case here, it seems like they were trying to push the barrier of what they could accomplish, and they really accomplished something very dangerous.
Wow.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. 64636. So we have this violent invasion now, because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But because it just boils my blood when you see them pushing our troops. I mean, they're the Texas National Guard, but we're all Americans.
Right. Well, Amy.
And where is Joe Biden? Where's Kamala Harris, who said there's no crisis at the border?
Yeah, she's getting high. She's at the abortion clinics, and he's asleep.
I know. Oh, yeah. She's at an abortion clinic.
You know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, all of this madness is set to get worse. Because I don't know if you heard this, 200 migrant deportation cases are being thrown out because the Biden administration failed to file the paperwork properly.
Oh.
200,000 deportation cases.
Wow. That's insane. But, Amy, remember, no matter how you feel about September 11th, all it took was 20 people to make America bow to their knees. And who knows who's coming across the border with bad intentions. And all it takes, they've shown, they know, is 20 people to alter America. And you got the Chinese people. And they're basically emptying out their jail cells.
Oh, in Venezuela
they are. The worst
of
the worst.
And the Venezuelan government will not allow flights to land that have people that they're deporting back to Venezuela. Because they don't want the criminals there.
Right.
America could take them. And we'll introduce you to our favorite Venezuelan. Our meet your new neighbor. That'll be later on in the show. Frank and Palatine, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning. Great show as always. Just wanted to remind the audience, 376 A.D., Rome had become Christian. And the there were thousands of people on the northern border. And the Christians in Rome said, well, let them in. We'll let them in. It's in 2 years. By 378, Rome fell because these people didn't understand borders, language, and culture. They were just invading Rome. Guess what we got going? You're bringing it up this morning. Thank God.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Frank, for the phone call.
Without a shot. No missiles, no bombs, no nothing. Just take them down from within. And for the life of me, when you look at the how many people voted this last primary election, I don't understand how
20%
people, and some places
voter.
Lower than that.
Oh my, seriously?
Yes, I was looking in Kane County, 7% in certain in a lot of precincts, 7% of the people came out to vote. 12% of the people came out to vote. I think in Kane County it was an average of 14%
of registered voters came out to vote
in Kane County, and in LaSalle County it was lower than that. I was just with the clerk at LaSalle County last night. And she's just flabbergasted that people are not, you know, I don't know people saying that everybody's awake and they're paying it. No, they're not, Amy. I'm sorry. People still, they're not there yet because it hasn't really touched them yet. And I hate to see something happen catastrophically that gets people to move. We don't need it to do it. Let's do it now.
All right. Mark and Rochelle, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. I just wanted to speak to those people that, you know, deny these are criminals or whatnot, or they criticize people who say these are criminals. Just, if you think about third world countries with prisons, what is it cheaper to do? Keep them in prison or give them a plane ticket and some clothes and tell them to just leave? And it's also why they won't bring them, take them back, because they know they're just going to flood the prisons. It's going to be more expensive to keep them. So just cart them off and make them someone else's problem and save a bunch of money in the process.
Yeah. I mean, thank you, Mark, for the phone call. We were told that walls were racist. We were told that saying invasion is racist. Yeah. That's not welcoming. Yeah. Well, all somebody has to do is say, stop.
Right. Yeah.
And who's doing that?
Nobody.
Biden can get out a pen and paper and he could do it. Well, Greg Abbott said released a statement about the surge of illegal immigrants in El Paso. The Texas National Guard and Department of Public Safety quickly regained control and are redoubling the razor wire barriers. DPS is instructed to arrest every illegal immigrant involved for criminal trespass and destruction of property. They didn't look too in control the other day. That's for sure.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today, 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank. Member FDIC, Equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
The Answer.
All right, good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony in for Dan Proft.
Hey, hey, hey.
And you got a big show tomorrow.
Yes.
Black and Right Radio right here on AM 560 from 4 to 7 p.m.
Yes.
Who's on your show?
Dennis Reveletti's coming on with me. Troublemaker's out, so.
The Troublemaker's out.
Valon. He's out. So that's what I call him, the Troublemaker.
Okay.
He'll be out tomorrow. So we're going to do a recap of the election. And
the low voter turnout.
Yeah, and shame the voters, pretty much. Shame the people. I mean, you know, really the
15% of registered voters in Kane County went out to vote.
Yeah,
that's embarrassing.
Amy, you get the leaders you don't vote for. You know, I mean, you don't vote for, you want to go out and vote. You deserve whoever you get. You deserve it.
Well, here in Chicago, all eyes are on the Cook County State's Attorney's race between Eileen O'Neill Burke and Clayton Harris III. Dan and I have a bet because I said, oh, I think when all the mail-in ballots are counted, I think that he's going to win.
Yeah, well,
they're both holding on for dear life. No one's conceding yet.
We have to make sure all the votes are counted.
We have to make sure, and we will make sure, that every voice is counted and every voice is heard.
And Clayton Harris, as you can see here, put out an email saying, by now you've heard the news that our race is very tight right now, too close to call. We're within 9,500 votes, but I think now it's more like 8,000. And the margin between us has been consistently shrinking. I wanted just to take a moment to say thank you. We'll keep you updated as we know more. We're going to make sure every single vote is counted and that your voices are heard. Eileen O'Neill Burke tweeting out, we're still waiting for votes to be counted, but rest assured that our team is monitoring the process closely, and we are optimistic. I'm hopeful and grateful to each and every one of my supporters, yada, yada. Thank you is not enough. Ooh. So, but it could be fraught with danger. I mean, I think mail-in ballots, I don't know if it's going to swing the Cook County State's race.
It can. It possibly can.
Well,
I mean, it's swinging the election.
Count the votes, the mail-in ballots. Yeah. They're starting to count them today.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Those should be the first things counted, in my opinion.
Right. Well, with more on that, let's welcome back to the program. It has been a long time. This guy is the best in the business, and he's out of Chicago at the worst time possible. Yeah. We need him now more than ever. Jim Allen, former communications director with the Chicago Board of Elections for 14 years. He's now in charge of the Board of Elections for Delaware County, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia. Hmm. Good morning, Mr. Allen. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Great. Great. How are you?
Good. Well, we miss you here. Do you miss Chicago and the suburbs?
Well, I definitely miss, parts of it. It's where I grew up in Mundelein. I mean, I'm on your show because of Mrs. Cox and Mrs. Nicolay, my fourth and third grade teachers. This is really a math problem. And thankfully, at Lincoln School in Mundelein, Illinois, they taught us math.
Well, what is the math going to say? How is this? Because people want to know, can you walk us through the process? So why are they starting to count the ballots today?
Well, I mean, keep in mind, they've been counting the ballots for a while, if they followed the pattern that was established years ago. So as you receive mail-in ballots, you can start processing them a couple of weeks before Election Day, and you process them, but you don't tabulate. So then you tabulate what you have in hand through, let's say, the Saturday before Election Day or the Monday before Election Day, and that way you're protecting against double voting on the poll books. And then you hold back anything that you receive very close to or on Election Day or the day after. And you make sure that none of those mail-in ballots were cast by people who participated in person. So it's a complicated process, but it's full of guardrails. That being said, I don't have a horse in this race between Mr. Harris and Ms. O'Neill Burke, but a lot of people think of 8,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 votes in a contest as a small margin. It's actually a very, very significant margin. So it's from what I see, it would take an uphill climb, a significant uphill climb, for the person in second place right now to overcome that 8,000 lead.
Well,
I mean, 8,000, keep in mind, yeah. With such low turnout, that's the equivalent of like 35 precincts, full precincts, all going your way. Well, the entire city and the entire suburban Cook County voted pretty close to 50-50. So, finding the equivalent of 30 precincts now, 30 full precincts of votes that went 100% for one candidate and 0% for another, pretty unlikely.
All right. So both sides have requested poll watchers, you know, to watch them count the ballots. And do they check signatures to make sure that their signatures match, or how does this work?
Yeah, there is a signature verification process. They also have to first go through the mail to make sure that it was, to the best they can, mailed on or before Election Day. So they can only count ballot if it's clearly postmarked or, the Wednesday or Thursday after Election Day. Those can't be considered, and those are set aside. So, but just going back to the math, if someone's up 8,000 right now and they receive 60,000, 66,000, whatever, 70,000 mail-in ballots, mm-hmm. For you to make up an 8,000 vote margin, you'd have to carry those 58% to 42%. And if that hasn't happened anywhere really in the city, it's unlikely that they're going to suddenly break, considerably differently than what, all the voters who spoke on Election Day or in early voting or who mailed in their ballots earlier. It's not likely. It's not impossible, but it's not likely that it's going to break that significantly and be, a full 6 points different, 7 points different than what you've got in hand already.
Yeah, unless you're Joe Biden in the 2020 election. Jim, here's my thing.
That's not true at all.
Okay.
The mail-in ballots in that election took days to count, and they were consistently 7-3. You had one campaign that was discouraging. Which
is a fair point.
They're turning around now. They're now starting to try to encourage people to use mail-in absentee voting. But that year, you had one campaign encouraging using it, and one campaign discouraging. And fortunately, they trimmed the sails a little bit in Florida, and they tried to draw a line and say, "Oh no, we're talking about mail-in ballots, not absentee."
Yeah, I'm not Jim, I'm not a fan of it, any of it. I actually served here.
Okay.
I served here in the General Assembly, and I voted against any of those measures because I'm sick and tired of election season. I think Election Day works unless you are military, unless you know you won't be here in country. I think it opens it up to the door of fraud. We've seen all these people now being convicted from some type of voter fraud. Remember, it was, as they say, it's not enough voter fraud, but it happens. Look, I'm from Chicago. I used to work at the Board of Elections way back when I was
young. Did you go out and campaign? Or
yeah, I was.
Or were you a committeeman?
I was part of the Daily Machine. My father was a precinct committeeman, a precinct captain in the 21st Ward, 53rd Precinct. So I've seen the shenanigans. I know what
you
happens.
Were part
behind,
of it?
I know what happens behind the scenes. I know how Chicago does it. You can say it doesn't happen. I mean, that's your prerogative. But I know. I've been there. I've been on the ground seeing how nefarious these people are. And my thing is, if Jim Allen had a perfect world, what would elections do? Would it include voter ID? Because as a black man, I'm offended by people who say that as a black people, we can't go out and get an ID to vote. I think what's wrong with that? What in Jim Allen's perfect world, what does voting look like in America?
Well, voter ID is fine as long as you have a safeguard. Because if I lose my wallet, or if Amy loses her purse on the bus or the L last night, that doesn't remove your citizenship. Keep in mind that voting is an extension of the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. And when you show up to protest or you show up to petition or assemble, or you show up to church to exercise your religious rights, no one says, "Show me your ID first." It's not like buying liquor. It's not like getting on a plane where, they're it's a private.
But we're changing the leadership structure of our leaders. That's very important.
Allow me to finish.
Sure.
So in Pennsylvania, for example, the only time that you need to show ID is for mail and absentee voting. And the court struck it down, though, for in-person voting. It's favored by large margins of Democratic voters and Republican voters. As election administrators, you know, when you have electronic poll books, they have the ability to scan those and actually speed up the voter check-in process and make it more accurate because it's going to read that ID. But again, if you misplace your ID or you forget it or you lost it or whatever last night, that's the question. Do you lose your citizenship, your most fundamental right to vote and express yourself, just because you can't find or don't have your ID with you?
Yeah, but then you can bring a checkbook or a bill that has your name on it, utility bill. That's what I did because I didn't have my wallet. So I'm like, so I grabbed my checkbook. Yeah. But they didn't ask my ID because
I had a gentleman who needed to show ID because he was changing his address and he needed two forms of ID. And he was out jogging when he came in to vote and he didn't have anything with him. And he became pretty angry. He came back with like 12 forms of ID about an hour later and, slamming them down on the table. It's just, you want to make sure that people have the ability to somehow, sometimes they can have a neighbor vouch for them and sign an affidavit in some states. So voter ID is okay as long as there's a safety net for
But see, Jim, this is my problem with the what ifs. What if you lose it? So you're telling me when black people go to the bank, when they go to the clubs, the what if applies? No. Listen, we have to have the most secure election and election integrity, and I just simply don't think we're there yet. I just simply don't.
Well, I think COVID exacerbated problems that we had. But what about Pennsylvania? Because you're going to be a swing state. All eyes are on you. Michigan, Wisconsin, have any of your voter rules changed since the last presidential election?
They've held pretty steady. I mean, there are different little micro decisions that are going to be made by the courts. We anticipate that both at the state level and the federal level, there are going to be a number of lawsuits that are going to be filed by both sides trying to, affect the rules just so slightly here and there. For example, there's a question as to whether or not the voter needs to date the envelope. And then if they date the envelope, does it have to be a quote-unquote proper date, meaning sometime this year? We know when the ballot was produced. We know when the envelope was made. We know, when it was sent out. And the courts have gone back and forth as to whether or not the envelope actually needs to be dated. When you vote in person, you don't need to date the book that you sign. So that's the question.
Hey Jim.
There are little things like that.
Forecast out 10, 15, 20 years from now. What's the future of voting? Is it online? What do you think the future of voting will be in the next 15 to 20 years?
I don't see it being online. There are far greater minds than mine who've studied that at places like MIT and who've come away. The difference between every other online transaction and voting is the whole secret ballot. And, if you and I have an online transaction where I buy a bicycle from you, we know everything, at some point, everything is known about that transaction. Whoever's handling it knows my credit card number and everything like that. And then I know that I'm supposed to receive a blue Schwinn. And when you introduce a secret ballot, now you have to be able to go online, deposit a secret ballot. How does that work? If you have credentials, somehow that ballot is going to be linked to the person. And if it's not linked and someone hijacks your credentials, are they able to steal your vote and then deposit it, and then there's no unscrambling the egg?
They're doing that now, though. I'm sorry.
What's that?
They're stealing votes now, though.
Can you give me an example?
Mail-in ballot.
I hear that all the time.
Ballot harvesting.
What's that?
Ballot harvesting is one of the easiest way to steal a vote. Because all you got to do, you go into these nursing homes with these people who have no clue. I've seen it, trust me, who have no clue who they're voting for, and they're voting.
Okay.
They're voting.
Nursing home voting involves, for that reason, involves someone from the Republican Party and the Democratic Party.
Yeah, they don't let Republicans in most of these together. Places. They don't. I've run campaigns. They don't let Republicans into a lot of these places. Listen, we got to stop making excuses.
All right, but what year was this? When
this was the last. I ran Alicia Benford's campaign for state representative. The last presidential campaign. I mean, previous campaigns, 2022 campaigns. We got to stop making excuses for this election season and go back to voting just election day. And those who need, you know, all that, do it. You know, because you know,
have a holiday so that people, you know,
or do that. Change the election day. Make it a day where people are off. Change it from Tuesday. I mean, the state legislative bodies can do that. Change it to a Saturday or something. You get more people out who can vote, you know.
I think they do that in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Allen, I have one more question for you. So my good friend was in the room with Clayton Harris and his wife, and then in walks Tony Preckwinkle with their two security guards, walks in and says, "You are not conceding. There's outstanding votes in Cook County, mail-in votes in the Southland where you are from, and we are going to win this race." So what is your reaction to that?
Well,
is that just wishful thinking?
We're often asked as election administrators, why are you still counting the vote when so-and-so conceded or when do you think they should concede? And really, that's like none of the business of the Cook County Clerk's Office or the Chicago Board of Elections. They're just going to continue counting the votes, whether or not someone concedes, for all the contests that were on the ballot on Tuesday. So, you know, the whole concession talk, that's something between the campaigns, you know, whether and when someone should or should not concede. That it's immaterial to the election administrators.
And just looking at the numbers right now, you still think that Eileen or O'Neill Burke is going to win this race?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying it's a steep uphill climb at this point.
Okay.
I just, you know, 8,000 may seem minuscule, but, you know, you look up to Wisconsin, and in 2014 and 2018, Scott Walker won with, you know, 30,000 votes, and that was with 2.5 million cast. Here we're looking at, you know, roughly 500,000 ballots cast and 8,000 votes apart. You know, Donald Trump won Wisconsin with 23,000 votes in 2016. So, with 2.7 million ballots cast. So 8,000 is a big number. And even if it gets trimmed down to 2,000, that's extremely, extremely hard to overcome in a recount, almost impossible.
Okay. All right. We're going to have to leave it there for today. Jim Allen, former communications director with the Chicago Board of Elections, and he is currently in charge of the Board of Elections for Delaware County, Pennsylvania. Maybe we'll call you again when it's closer to the November election, if you're up for it.
Amy, feel free.
Okay. You're the best. Thank you so much for joining us. And he did join us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
All right. So, I meant to show you the picture. Distracted of I had it queued up too.
Oh, come on.
Of Gage Park and the absolute mess that is going on there, and garbage everywhere. I talked to one neighbor who said I saw a guy, he urinated on not on her gate but on the handle of her gate.
Oh, come
just
on.
Just an extra like blank you.
Yeah.
And what are they doing? Our tax dollars are feeding them.
Oops, I slipped.
Clothing them, and there is. Look, you got to see this. This isn't good on radio.
Like, oops, I slipped and fell. My elbow somehow connected on his nose.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know how that happened. But look at all these cigarette butts. You got to. I'm going to tweet this out. Yeah. Look at them. Look at that.
Whoa.
That's not snow on the ground, young man.
Whoa.
Those are cigarette butts by the thousands.
Yes, more probably more.
It's just like if you're going to come here to this country.
Yeah.
This is care. Mother Earth. Where are all the environmentalists and, you know, screaming? Oh, my God. Where's PETA? Because small animals are living under the ground that can't get out because of all the garbage they leave in El Paso and in Lukeville, Arizona.
What about all the flatulence? Isn't that
flatulence?
Isn't that causing
big flatulence
the air,
Friday?
You know, isn't that causing a lot of problems with climate change?
With the the CO2 levels you're talking about? Yes. All right. So with more on this, we're going to welcome back to the program Chris Amatour. He is a Chicago property owner, and he is housing on his own dime 449 illegals that are here. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Amy?
Good. So you had a baby, huh?
Yeah, we had a baby, which was really great. We had the Chicago Relief Program. They helped us up. They have all of the migrants that I'm housing in their system, and they helped, you know, get to the hospital, have the baby, and it was really special. You know, the St. Christopher team and man in Chicago team were all there, and it was pretty cool. So,
okay, so how many people are you? So, how is it going? Because you have 449. Migrants, illegals, whatever you want to call them, that are in your rental properties. Is everything going smoothly so far?
Yeah, everything's going smooth, pretty smoothly, I would say. I mean, the only thing that's not is that I'm not getting any money for it yet or anything, because anyone that came after November 15th doesn't qualify for any rental assistance. And then also anyone who came after July 15th doesn't qualify for any temporary work visas. So I guess you could say everyone that I help is people that cannot be helped, you know. So there were people that were literally on the street, like they were people that were in excess from getting into the shelters, and it was like 2 days before that you know, cold snap we had. Right. In like when it was like negative 14, so I kind of made like a, you know, on the spot decision, and you know, maybe it wasn't the best decision, but it's decision I made. And because I don't care what reason you say, Amy, I mean, I've heard it all, you know. I go to all like the city council meetings and everything, and everyone has every reason, you know, but to me there's not one reason why you should let a child sleep in the street and starve. Yeah, you know, I don't care what the reason is. I mean, I probably agree with you that all these migrants shouldn't be here, but what are we going to do about that, you know? I mean
you know, we can vote the bums out of office.
Yeah, mean, that's for sure.
Biden
can
stop this
because
he's putting people's lives in jeopardy. I mean, people die every day. They drown in the Rio Grande. And if they're not, you know, sold into sex trafficking or raped along the way, it's not fair to them.
What a pro need. AT&T provides proactive recommendations.
Wait,
so you
on.
Get
what
what's
is
right
that?
For you.
George, sorry, we had a mishap on the board. So what, I mean, the people that came here, what are you hearing from them? Are they grateful to you? Or they just think that they're entitled to all of this free stuff?
No, there's no entitlement. And to tell you the truth, they don't even want any of this free stuff. You know, I mean, like, all they want to do is work. Like, if they could choose a condo with granite countertops for free or a tent down by the river and a job, they'll take the tent down by the river and a job in a heartbeat. I'm telling you, a lot of people have it. I mean, obviously, there's always going to be a 5% of any group in the world, you know, that are going to be the ones that you said are pissing on the, you know, people's backyard or breaking into a garage or something. I mean, you're going to get there wherever, but you just can't stereotype the whole group of them just because some of them, which I know it's kind of hard because, you know, they're under the microscope and everything like that. But but no, they're very grateful. You know, like, I had them all set up on Instacart where I was sending them food, and they all told me to stop. You know, like, they have other ways to get food. They're resourceful. And with the not-for-profit company I started, the St. Christopher Project, you know, I'm employing 60 migrants right now that are, I mean, they're not all full-time because, you know, I just started this. And as of right now, I'm the only one funding it and everything, but I mean, they work their tails off, and they're picking up garbage. You know, I mean, no one wants to do that job that currently lives in Chicago, not that I know of. You
I
know?
Pick up garbage and, all the time on my block, all the time. And if the sewer cover is got leaves in it, I get out my shovel and I move it and bag it and get it out. But so they're picking it. All right, let's talk about yesterday, because Gage Park, again, people complaining that they're, you know, drinking, doing drugs, staying out late, disrespecting the neighborhood, all those cigarette buds, all that garbage. How many people did it take, and how many bags of garbage did you fill yesterday?
Yesterday we filled over 100 garbage bags, so about 100, I think it was like 120 about. But, you know, we did everything. We didn't just do the park. Yeah, like if you go two blocks away from the park, we did all the alleys, the streets, and everything. Kind of like what you said, the areas that if it was your house that you would clean the front of it and stuff like that. So, I mean, a lot of that wasn't from the migrants, but we just cleaned it anyway because at City Hall meeting 2 days ago, there was like probably 10 people from Gage Park that were there to complain about the shelter, which, and they have a very good reason to complain. Like they said, like there's a program for disabled people that they can't do now because the field house is being taken and all this. And I agree, the last place that migrants should be is in a field house in a neighborhood, yeah. You know, and, but like I said, you know, there's one thing you could do is spread hate to make the situation worse, or you could have a solution, you know, and I'm trying to come up with a solution, you know, and maybe the solution is some of them need to be sent back, yeah. You know, and if we can't find them jobs, if we can't find them places to live, yeah I mean, this cannot stay forever, you know.
Yeah,
still there, you know.
Chris, I think it's admirable what you're doing, but I don't think it's hate that Americans are expressing. I think it's frustration with our government that we've allowed 10 million people into our country, and some of them we don't even, and that's what we know. And they're basically, look at, we didn't have money for our own veteran homeless people, but somehow we found
veterans
this,
out right. of hotels in Massachusetts.
Yes, but somehow
and
we found money.
Shelters in Massachusetts for migrants.
Right. Somehow we found money for this situation. I can only imagine how much money you're losing by housing these illegal immigrants. I can only imagine. What's been the police calls for service at your properties? Has there been a lot of police activity?
Oh, no. I mean, also our block is the cleanest in the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, that's kind of a thing I have with them. Like, hey, if you're not paying rent, every morning you're out here cleaning the street because, you know, the neighbors are going to be at least happy they have the cleanest block on the, you know.
So, well, that's so good.
All 15 addresses, you know, and like I said, and they also get paid to go out, but they don't get paid for that, though.
Well,
but,
what about, yesterday, did anybody from inside the shelter help clean up their mess that they made?
Yeah, we did get, about five of them that were out there, they came in, they just helped for free of charge, and then I got three others that we were able to get paid to help us for the day, but we didn't really structure it where we were, like, trying to get them, you know, like, we got there, started working right away, picked up the 10,000 cigarette butts and all the trash in the field, and then we kind of broke it up into, like, four zones where we just cleaned all the neighborhood around there just to relieve some of the tension, you know, that I felt at the, you know, City Hall meeting. Amy and Dan, we have a real cool program,
I'm
too, where if you go on our X or Twitter account, you could go to our pinned post, and you could put a picture of anywhere in the city of Chicago and the address. And so all you got to do is post a picture and an address, and the St. Christopher Project will clean that area. So if there's, like, a really, like, annoying, let's say you're driving by work every day and you constantly see this vacant lot that's, like, covered with garbage, uh-huh. Put a picture and an address on there, and then we'll reply to that with a picture of it clean.
Okay, and what's the Twitter handle or the X handle?
Yeah, that's at St. Chris Project. So, like, ST Chris Project. So if you go on that, you could post a picture of that. So it's kind of a good way to get the community involved and also to, you know, kind of, I always call it, you know, the migrant opportunity. I mean, I understand it's the migrant crisis, but, you know, I'm just trying to, and everything you say are great points and everything, but, like I said, all I see is the city of Chicago. I mean, I work on the south and west side every single day. I'm on the street, and literally, kind of like what you said, Dan, is that, or if it was Amy who said it, I forget. You know, when you say about like the actual like what you were saying about the people in Massachusetts,
yeah.
And everything mm-hmm. like that. But I mean, there's really nothing we could do about that, and like. But, like, there was a perfect example. I was in an alderman's office, and I was waiting to see the alderman. And while I was waiting, I heard a homeless person that was in there talking with the alderman, having a cup of coffee, discussing his options. You know, I would say he was experiencing homelessness. He was also a veteran, too. But, you know, I mean, my brother's a veteran. He went to Iraq. I'm a huge veteran supporter. I'm not trying to say anything about that. But the fact of the matter is, he was able to go in and talk to an alderman and have a cup of coffee in a nice warm room and discuss his options of homelessness and what program does he want to pick.
Right.
Now, put yourself in a migrant's shoes. They have nothing. No alderman would even open the door to him. They even come in there to talk to them. And they have
Carlos
no
Romero
help,
Rosas
whatever,
would.
You know?
Yes.
Hey, Chris, two things. First of all, my name is John. I'm not Dan. I'm better looking. He might be smarter, but I'm better looking.
He's filling in for
right.
Dan.
And don't
and
forget.
And you have a better disposition.
Correct. And don't forget, they're not homeless. They're unhoused, right?
Oh, that's right. You got to get the labels
right. Come on,
right.
Chris. You better get it right.
All right, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. If you guys have a dirty lot anywhere, go to @St. Chris and take a picture and send it to him with an address. Got a text message. Amy, send him a picture of City Hall. There's plenty of garbage in there. Hey-o.
Oh, God.
All right, Chris, thank you so much, and we'll have you back.
All right, have a good day.
Okay, thanks. Chris Amator, he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
George, let me be in charge of my mic. Hi, Justin's off. I love you, George, but then sometimes I want to kill you. Is that bad?
Hey, don't.
At least I don't hide my feelings.
Right? Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to kill George.
I know.
Just want to give him a little noogie. Sorry. So did you like our last guest? What do you think?
You know,
because I understand him, but then
yeah,
I just feel like he's an enabler a little bit. Right. But I like the fact that they said no to the Instacart.
Yeah.
Can you? He's been paying to feed three meals a day, 449 people.
Yeah.
And he's just got rid of the Instacart.
You know, Amy, I don't try to come and let that lion roar I have out. But sometimes people say something like he said that people hate. No, they're not hating me, these people. They hate our government and what they're doing. And guess what? It's their taxpaying money that's making this happen. People forget that.
All right, coming up on Chicago's Morning Answer, the New York AG is eyeing some golf courses, some Trump golf courses and other things. We'll explain. And then also, he's coaching a basketball team for free. Well, at least he did. We'll explain. Meet your new neighbors. Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony in for Dan Proff. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, better
at
looking.
Such short notice.
Guy
I
called
didn't
me
even
Dan.
Sleep last night.
I got 3 hours.
You got 3 hours?
Yeah.
I think I got two.
I told you I was speaking in LaSalle County at the Gun Save Lives. Have you been to Jamie's Outpost out in Utica?
No.
Oh, you got to go to Jamie's Outpost. Amy, you will
love
it.
I love Utica.
You will love this place.
Isn't that where that water park is?
Starbrock.
Yes, yeah. Starbrock. Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the name of that water park? Grand Bear Resort. We used to go there all the time with the kids.
Oh.
And then go to Starved Rock, and it was just a little slice of heaven in Illinois.
Yeah.
So you're out there. Did you have a good turnout?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, packed house.
Really?
Packed house.
Okay.
And I blew it away. I you know,
did you
I never toot my own
ovation?
Horn. I did. I never toot my own horn. Mm-hmm. I tried not to, at least. But I felt like that was a really good speech that I gave last night. And I went back and forth from the prepare speech I had. I like to walk the floor when I speak.
Okay.
And get, you know, walk and talk. And I probably give verbal showers to people because I'm...
I suggest you wear a mask.
Yeah, well, no.
No, I'm kidding.
I didn't wear it then, so...
All right. Well, I wanted you to meet our new social media influencer. He's a TikToker with 500,000 followers. He's from Venezuela. He's here illegally. And earlier this month, he had a TikTok where he was holding a newborn baby and telling people, come to America, have a baby. I get all of this for free. Mm-hmm. Free food. He's like, and then he puts the baby. I don't know if he really cares about this baby, right. But he shows the baby, like, have a baby and you'll get this. The government will take care of you for life.
Wow.
For life. So now, since squatters is a new thing, people squatting and people. So, I mean, it's been going on for a long time because all 50 states have laws that protect squatters. first before the homeowner. This Venezuelan is on YouTube telling people to come here and take over our homes.
Oh. My people, I have thought about invading a house in the United States because I learned there's a law that says if a house is not inhabited, we can expropriate it. I think that will be my next business. Invade abandoned houses.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. You could also text us at 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. This, of course, coming after the El Paso Ciudad Juarez border was invaded. Close to 400, some are saying 500, yeah. Mostly men, and they looked angry.
Yeah.
Oh, they were fixing for a fight. Cut down the razor wire, stormed the border, knocked down Texas National Guard. They couldn't. It was 3 against 400.
Yeah, I watched the video during the break. It's whoo.
And here it is. Here's the invasion. We look like a third. Pounding on the gate because there's one line of defense. And see that area in between Mexico mm-hmm. and the United States. Mm-hmm. Technically, once they cut the razor wire, then they were in America. And then they ran up to another metal gate, a metal wall. And you could hear, I mean, you could see the Texas National Guard. They had fear.
Wow.
And they had their long guns, but nobody shot anybody, right. Which, thank God, I wasn't there. But now they're tackling us?
Yeah.
So this is a true invasion.
It is. I don't care what anybody says. It's an invasion. And I mean, think about what it's doing to our resources, too, here in America. There's so many facets to this. I mean, they're killing us through a proxy war with China, with fentanyl. I mean, there's just so many aspects that we're really not talking about. The human trafficking, the sex trafficking, the labor trafficking. There's so many things that's happening. And people want to make it that we're xenophobic and hateful when we're just trying to protect the borders of America. Because go somewhere else. Go to another country and try to do this. Go to Mexico and try to do this. It won't happen.
Well, these stunning images come as Lake and Riley's father mm-hmm. was at the Capitol in Georgia and asking and urging Georgia lawmakers to declare what's happening at the border an invasion.
A man with an evil heart stole her life. He was in this country and in this state illegally. My vision for every senator in this chamber is that you protect citizens from this illegal invasion. Governor Kemp, please declare an invasion to detain and deport criminal illegals so we can prevent future families from those tragedies.
How does this stall? How is it stalling in the Senate, Amy? Please explain that to me. Please explain.
Georgia Senate?
Yes. How is it stalling? Please.
I don't know.
What about Mike Johnson? What he did? Didn't they also pass a...
The Lake and Riley Act.
Tell me how that's stalling.
If you commit a crime, you're handed over to ICE.
Yes.
It passed,
well, if you
and
come
37 Democrats voted in favor of it, but it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate.
Tell me why.
Because they don't care.
They don't care.
Because they need these people here. They don't care how many Americans are killed in the process, but they need them here to eventually get them to vote.
Yeah.
They need them here to increase the population in blue cities so that they can maintain the congressional
seats. Yeah.
Because you don't have to be an American citizen to be counted in the census.
You do not. That's
one thing that people forget.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, who cares about the voting thing?
Right.
Eventually that's going to happen. But right now they're doing that because they do not want to hemorrhage another congressional seat. Hence, they don't want to lose power.
Right.
And that is the problem.
And that's why people are frustrated.
All right. So all these squatters that are getting a tutorial from this TikTok guy. It's a thing. And in California, guess what they have now?
What's that?
I wanted to take a guess.
California. they're probably providing cars and houses right now.
No. They have what's called a squatter squad.
Oh, yeah.
Where somebody's living in your house and you don't want to wait for the sheriff, you just call the squatter squad and they'll come and get it. This is San Bernardino Valley.
Are you on the lease?
Yeah.
You're on the lease? Show me you're on the lease. Show me you're on the lease. You know you're not on the lease.
They break in the door. They're still breaking in the door. They just poked down the door. They don't have it. They're not armed that we know of.
Oh, Lord.
So yeah. So So,
Get your dog.
Get your dog. Let's go. So if you can't count on the government, which we pay taxes to have your backs, it looks like you could do this. I hire the squatter squad in California, and they'll take care of the problem.
Is this a government agency?
No.
Oh, this is private.
Rah-rah capitalism. Yeah.
Why do I thought immediately Ghostbusters.
Did you?
That song from Ghostbusters. When you said the squatter squad, the Ghostbusters song came into my mind. I don't know why.
All right, Kip in Stillman Valley. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Listen, I haven't taken my medication yet, so I want to try to keep it civil here. It's high blood pressure and stuff. As far as the balance of nature, it's absolutely great. I never really did the spice and fiber, but anyway, I'm just so mad about this illegal immigration thing, and it pains me that through my whole life, and most true Americans have fought and worked hard to keep a roof over their head, food in their bellies, not only for themselves, but for their families, and to appease people that are coming here illegally and getting everything, and then to sit there and think that those 449 people that this great man is doing, trying to do a good thing for people that have no means, is 449 people that's going to discount my vote for who I want to vote for, and that's exactly what's going on. And as far as squatters, they better not even think about coming out here in the freaking backwoods.
Right out of the small town.
There are a lot of guns around here. So peace out. Love you guys. Peace.
Thank you. Well, how the squatters work is if there's an abandoned house or say somebody has a second home and you're not there a lot, they can come into your home and maintain a residency.
So how they
until
get in?
Then you have to go to court to get them out.
How are they
a lot
in?
Of them break in.
Okay, so that's you've committed a crime. Now I'm arresting you on that first.
And you know how we told you about the Seattle man?
Yeah.
He, by the way, he left his $1.3 million home for the $2 million home.
That he does not. Yeah.
And he makes $400,000 a year and he doesn't pay rent and he's squatting in somebody's house. Mm. So they're calling him out and putting his picture on every street corner and in every South Korean restaurants, anywhere possible.
Amy, I listen, I get it. A lot of people see opportunity in America. I get that. I definitely get that. But I think it's an indictment on our own people who don't see the same opportunity, who don't see the same greatness, who don't see the same exceptionalism that America is. And that was part of the speech I gave last night. You know, I mean, the idea of who America is, people see that and they realize that they can make it. They can just get to America. They can make it. They can send this stuff back to their people back at home, no matter where they are across the globe.
Yep.
So people see that light, that beacon that America stands for, and that they want to be here. I get that. But we have places, ports of entry for you to come for that. Now, if you're coming and it's asylum, like what's happening in Haiti, you know, what happened in Afghanistan when a true insurrection happened? I get it. But come to our ports of entry. Don't create your own port of entry. We have laws. We're a nation of laws. That's why we have the Constitution. That's why we're
like
the greatest country ever. No, we're not. Because tyranny is ruling. Tyranny runs and rules our country right now.
And when they want, you know, to take down a political opponent, they change the rules.
Yes.
In order to take them down.
Yes.
Maurice in Berwyn, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Gosh, I am a Democrat, and gosh, California is just the worst example of Democratic policies. I call myself a conservative Democrat, which is always, by today's example, I might as well just be Republican.
I love it.
And just say you're a Republican.
I might as well. I mean, kids say that, Maurice, you're like such a toxic, they say I have toxic masculinity. I mean, I was born in 1975, for God's sake. But my parents were landlords on the West Side. And, the goal is if it goes well, you just collect your rent. But they were on the West Side. So sometimes you show up with a cinder block. you know, hey, you pay, somebody's paying something. You're either paying your rent or this is going in the back windshield.
Oh,
and I apply those.
Oh, my gosh.
And I, for the sake of confidentiality,
we gotta be friends.
Dude, I'm not a bad person to interact with.
Right.
And I apply those concepts to my job in the suburbs. Hey, you paying this or this going in somebody's back windshield? And I approve of this.
Right.
Because it's really unfair. The idea of you wanting to rent a home and use that as income is kind of an American concept. And it makes me sad that people have to do this. But I approve of that.
Hey, Maurice, I'm like Denzel. I'm leaving here with something.
I'm leaving you. Hey, you collecting rent or this cinder block's going in your back windshield? You paying for something?
I'm leaving here with something. You see, here, Denzel. There's a clip of him going around. I'm leaving here with something.
I'm leaving here with something. Okay.
I'm leaving here with something.
All right, Maurice, thanks for calling in.
Are you first? Pay your rent? Would you say, Amy?
I said, thanks for calling in.
Hey, it works. They will pay rent or they want to have a busted windshield. You pay money somewhere.
Okay, thanks, Maurice.
I choose violence today.
David in Winnetka, he has an idea for everybody. Hi, David.
Yeah, no, good morning, guys. Morning. Just like that gentleman that mentioned about blood pressure rising and everything, but the TikToker gave me a great idea for a business. It's
what?
It's going to be to keep these people out, to keep the people out of people's homes. And lately that word bloodbath has been thrown around a lot. And it will just be that. It will be that. I mean, they forced us to do nothing but fight back, and here we are. Thanks,
okay.
Guys.
Thank you. And again, I told you I had a friend who went on vacation and his alleged friends that were just taking advantage of him squatted in his house.
Yeah.
He was out for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Had to go to court. Couldn't even go in to get his things.
Yeah.
Not a toothbrush, not his passport. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still live in a small town. Try that in my small town.
I'd break into my house and get my stuff and then get them out.
Breaking in my house, I'm coming in for you.
Okay.
And I'm pulling you out. You're coming out of my house. You trespass. You committed multiple, a felony. You know, depending on how much damage you create in my house. I mean, that's. What if somebody was there and they broke in? Home invasion now.
Well, that's true. You can get them that way. Let's go to Greg in LaGrange. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi.
No, it doesn't. John Anthony, you guys are great, man. Love you on the weekend.
Thank you.
I just don't see this ending because this is anytime you can sow discord, confusion, and fear, you're going to get more of it. Mm-hmm. And as long as we keep electing these people in these especially big blue cities, this chaos will continue. You'll see things like squatters, that story in New York, or people on TikTok talking about how you can scam McDonald's out of money, or people on TikTok showing you, or any social media. I just don't want to pick on TikTok or any social media that tells you how to scam the system. Why? Because it brings disorder, confusion, and fear. And that's what it's all about. And until we get people that honor the Constitution, that believe in God, country, and law and order, mm-hmm. we're going to keep going through this, and we're going to go through it to a point where it's going to really break down for the average citizen, and then it's going to be too late.
All right, thanks,
Amy.
Greg.
There's a way for this to end.
How?
Peacefully? The re-election of Donald Trump.
Yep.
In November.
Because a vote for Biden is a vote for more illegals, millions more illegals. And then, can you imagine the next four more years?
Yeah.
We'll have 20 million, but this place will be crawling, and they'll be living in tents again outside police stations and taking over our gyms. Yeah. Oh wait, they're already doing that.
Yeah. You see what my hat says, right?
Clean up on aisle 46.
Get rid of them. Get them out. Clean them up. Get him out.
That is a great hat.
Joe Biden, gotta go.
Clean up aisle.
Trump, Donald John Trump can put an end to this.
He could be Grover Cleveland because Grover Cleveland was our 22nd president and our 24th president. And do you know Grover Cleveland got himself a little hottie wife while he was in office? He was, I think, 45 and she was 20. Maybe they have a lot in common because Melania is younger than Trump, too. All right, let's go to Ron on the South Side. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, John. Hey, Amy. Real quick. The guy that came on that is housing them, I don't want to hear that benevolence nonsense, okay? You are incentivizing criminal activity. I don't care if they picking up garbage. You know what? If you in prison and they'll say, oh, this person taught people how to read, they were a model prisoner, keyword, prisoner. That means nothing. You're not getting out because you have done some nice things. So he's part of the problem. The guy, Amy, that you were talking about on the social, whatever, that's the cat. See, that's what they're selling. Those 400 and some people, they're doing the same thing. Just come on.
I mean, and can you believe it, too? Out of those 400 mostly single men that live in Gage Park Shelter, five came out to clean up. There were 10, he said there were 10,000 cigarette butts that he counted.
Oh, that was
That's just pissing. I mean, it was so gross. The video was so, and it was so bad they had to rake it and make a pile of it. Yeah. And then he said that he put the, he didn't say this on the air, but I talked to him off air yesterday. Those, I don't know what you call them. Is anybody smoke? Can somebody help me here? George Hoffman filters? Smokes. What do they call it when you, it's a contraption. It looks like a little statue where you put your cigarette buds in.
An ashtray?
No, it's not an ashtray, but it's
that's
one of the outdoor.
Like the smoker helpers. They get the little hole.
Yes.
Sand in the bottom.
Thank
of
you.
It.
So he put a bunch of those out there, and let's hopefully they better use them. Because if they're still smoking and throwing that on the ground, I might have to come over there. Don't care.
Yeah, you all have a great week.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Swedes clean the clean.
I love Ron.
I love Ron too. All right, let's go to. Let's see. Oh, Tom in Blue Island. I don't know. What do you...
Oh, boy. Come on.
So, Tom, what is your
Johnny,
conspiracy you, theory? What
What's
do you have?
Here? Amy, earlier you just said something that that's called the great... It's referred to as the great replacement theory, which, you know, that big racist white nationalist next to you, he's been accused of on a few times just for being a conservative. Kind of crazy. It's an idea is that these people are, and it started in France. It's that these people are being brought over by elites to water down the white population. And it sounds kind of crazy, but when you see what's happening, it's hard to argue. But hey, Amy, last year I called you and Dan in reference to you guys were talking about a Walmart that closed around approximately 87th and Hall.
Yeah, three Walmarts closed.
It's
in
on
the city.
83rd.
Yeah,
yes.
And we were doing a job for a lady at the time, and she said she went to the one in Evergreen Park anyway because she said it was, you know, dangerous to go over to that one. Well, a few weeks ago, we're back at her house doing some other work, and I noticed a bunch of, you know, Hispanics, Latinos walking around. And I said to her, I said, you know, Renee, what's going on with, you know, this is a bad neighborhood. I mean, they're shooting. Someone got shot on the block when we were working there last year. And something maybe, Amy, you can look into, and it's anecdotal from the lady, but she said the city was seizing the abandoned houses over there.
Ooh.
They were doing as minor a restoration job as they could, and they were moving illegals into those houses. So again, that's anecdotal. I just have it from the one lady, but I mean, they were all over the place. It's like the area is almost mixed now.
Yeah, I got friends that live over there. I'll call them.
Yeah, call them and see what's going on. Yeah, I had heard rumblings of that too. That they were giving them impounded cars that hadn't been picked up. Because my friend at 19th said that I can't even park in my spot now because. He said their biggest problem is illegals who don't have a driver's license, don't have a plate on the car, don't have a city sticker, you know, all the things that we do because we're law-abiding citizens. And that they're driving around. They don't know what they're doing. They don't speak English. They don't follow the signs.
Yeah.
It's just the beginning of the end. Real quickly, Marty, I like this idea. How to get rid of squatters. Go, Marty. Hurry up.
Listen, you call up your utilities, your cable, everybody, say, I'm going out of town for a month. Shut everything off. Trust me, they ain't going to stay in the house where there's no cable and electric. You just call at a utility and tell them I'm going out of town for a month, and they'll shut everything off.
Okay. So. All right. Thanks, Marty. Coming up on Chicago's Morning Answer, Mark Morgan joins us. He's former U.S. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner. Can't wait to get his take on this invasion that's going on in El Paso. But now let's head into the newsroom. Here is Mike Scott.
You know that hottie you were talking about, Frances Folsom Cleveland?
Yes.
Amy?
maybe the second most popular first lady in history, behind Dolly Madison.
Okay, wow. Is she better looking than Melania?
You
know what? You know what?
You're asking me to call up pictures now.
Yeah, I'll investigate.
I'm
for
just
myself.
A couple of presidential historians have done some surveys. Five kids, wonderful marriage, and the only one of only a couple 2-time first ladies, by the way.
Wow.
So there you go.
Thank you. Good Friday morning. This is just unbelievable. We've been talking about squatters all day. Two squatters are being sought over the gruesome murder of a 52-year-old New York woman whose body was found stuffed in a duffel bag inside her mother's upscale Manhattan apartment. Yeah. Police say she was savagely beaten by two monsters when she discovered them inside her mom's 19th floor apartment on East 31st Street. Wow. Having just flown in from Spain, Vitel had gone to her late mom's apartment, which had been vacant for roughly 3 to 4 months, and she's going to start preparing it so that a family friend could move in. Quote, we believe some squatters took the apartment over, and this woman came home and walked in on the squatters, and they brutally killed her.
Beautiful woman, too.
Beautiful, yes.
Did you read further down? Who discovered her body?
No.
Her 19-year-old son.
Oh, God. Blunt force trauma to the head, multiple facial fractures, brain bleed, 2 broken ribs. And then they stuffed her in a duffel bag. Now, we don't know who they are. They apparently took off in her Lexus SUV. So they do have a plate number. When they do find them, I hope they find them soon. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. This is why you don't play with this stuff. This is why I said I'm going to drag him out by the throat. You do this because of this stuff like this, you know?
Yeah. The son opened the closet door near the front door and discovered the duffel bag with a foot sticking out.
Can you
imagine
that?
Live like that? Why don't we need to change the state laws about squatting? And we talked about squatter because our new Venezuelan neighbor, I don't even want to say his name, but the TikToker.
Yeah.
He's instructing people on how to come to America. He did that first. And then he said, have a baby and you'll be taken care of for life. And now he's telling people, and this Venezuelan, this mouthy dude who I can't stand, teaching people how to squat.
Mi gente!
He's like,
my people, I have thought about invading a house in the United States because I learned there's a law that says if a house is not inhabited, we can expropriate it. I think that will be my next business. Invade abandoned houses.
I mean, why can't they find this guy and deport him?
They probably know where he's at.
I'm sure they know where he's at.
You know what, Amy? I talked about all that, but you know, that's why I'm so grateful. I don't have to worry about how you guys got Kim Fox. You know, the presiding judge is Tim Evans.
Tim Evans.
You know what? In the 23rd Judicial, I have presiding judge Stephen Krantz, and one of the best judges in the entire United States, in the entire United States of America. And I watch judges, and Stephen Krantz is one of the best. And then I got a great state's attorney in Eric Weiss. I'm telling you, I was proud to go into the voting booth and vote for both of those people because I know that they both are going to stand up to the make sure they follow the law. And if that was to happen in our county, they're not taking this stuff.
And Eric Weiss, don't know if those two were here legally or illegally.
Right.
But can you imagine if
they're squatters.
Illegally? But they're squatters regardless.
Right.
And then you get some guy instructing people how to take our homes from us, illegals that are here. With more on this and then what happened in El Paso with that mad rush, let's welcome back to the program Mark Morgan, former U.S. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner. Good morning, Mr. Morgan. How are you?
Amy, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I'm sure you've seen the video of there's reports of 400 to 500 illegals cutting razor wire and pretty much plowing down Texas National Guard troops.
Yeah, look, this is just another example. I think it was about a year and a half ago, if you remember, we had a large group of illegal aliens that came across the border, invading the border, bum rushing and trying to overrun Border Patrol. And you remember that what that image was, though? They were carrying the flag of their home country.
Oh, that's right.
It wasn't just a little flag. Remember,
it was a bedsheet size. Remember?
Right, exactly. And so this is just another example. How many more examples do we need to know to show the absolute chaos and lawlessness at our border? And think about who was there. It was the Texas National Guard. Where were the federal resources? Well, the federal resources are not on the front line anymore. Why? Because this administration has transformed their law enforcement and national security mission to one of a processing enterprise. That's very important. There's literally no enforcement or national security work being done because those resources have been relegated to being in facilities doing administrative work, processing and releasing illegal aliens into our country. There are some areas where at times every checkpoint and 85 to 90% of border patrol resources have been all pulled off the front line, relegated to administrative duties to now fulfill their new role of being that processing enterprise.
Well, once they get, it just makes no sense. I used to live in El Paso and I lived in Tucson, so I spent some time with Border Patrol. I can't imagine that those are their new job duties. But once they're processed, then what happens? They get these asylum hearings that are 2 to 3 years out.
It's worse than that. I mean, this is one of the biggest things. If you remember, within the first few weeks, this president issued 94 executive orders. 94. That dismantled and destroyed the network of tools, authorities that we had in place that led to the most secure border in our lifetime. And the facts back that up. They don't have to listen to me. Go to CBP stats. Every one of your listeners, CBP stats, and it's right there in black and white. But here, look, we don't have enough time to talk about all of them. But here's one of the big things they did. They reinstated catch and release. And one way they did that was they ended the Remain in Mexico program. Mm-hmm. And so what we told the entire world that now under this administration, if you come to our border, you will be released into the interior United States, never to be heard from again. Like you said, their hearings are 6, 7, 8 years down the road. Gosh. And by then, forget about it. You're never going to find them. They're never going to be deported. In fact, DHS's own lifecycle report says that once they're released into the interior United States, once they get a final order of removal, less than 10% of them will ever be removed.
Wow.
And then what about this? Because we're hearing yesterday that more incompetence coming from the White House, that some 200,000 yep. migrant deportation cases are being thrown out because they failed to file the paperwork correctly. What's that all about?
Yeah, think about it. This is no surprise. The past 38 months, there have been 9.1 million total nationwide encounters. Think about that. 9.1 million. There is no a nation on the face of the planet that could sustain that. So when you have that volume, that level of invasion, it's a broken arrow. The federal personnel cannot keep up, and it's inevitable that there's things that are going to fail and slip through the cracks. This is just one example of many. Think about it. And I know you and I talked about it before. How many illegal aliens with criminal backgrounds have been released into the interior United States because they're overwhelmed? That's another fallacy right now. This administration tries to tell the American people they're lying when they say they vet people. When they say that, American people have this false sense of security. That means we know everything about them before they're being released. And that's just a lie. Yeah. There is no way. There are many countries we don't have diplomatic relationships with that we're getting zero information with respect to that individual's criminal history or their ties to terrorism. That's just one of the many big lies. Yeah. So this latest incident is no surprise because our system is broken and it's overwhelmed.
Yeah. And Mark, and what just happened in Texas, Senate Bill 4, the fifth Court of Appeals just blocked it again. You would think that the federal government would work in concert with the state of Texas and Governor Abbott. What does this new blockage means, and how do you think it will affect the enforcement at the border?
So, look, what a great question, because this really brings up what I say all the time, that what's happening at our border and border security, you don't have to be an expert. It's just common sense. And you just highlighted one of the most basic common sense aspects, that federal and local state law enforcement agencies should work together.
Yeah.
Right, for the betterment of this nation, and in this case, to secure, defend, and protect the border from a vast set of threats coming across. When I was a commissioner, that's exactly what we did. There was no need for SB4 because, as a commissioner, for example, I was working with the director of Texas DPS, Steve McGraw, all the time. We had a great working relationships. So
So it's absurd that Texas actually needed to pass such a law, and absurd now that as they're trying to fill the void that's been left by the federal government's refusal to do their job, they're actively trying to prevent them from safeguarding their own state. Right. Now, the only thing I can say right now, the back and forth with SB 4, it's not on the merits. It's just rather, can they implement it while they're waiting to hear on the merits? That's going back and forth. My prediction is it's eventually going to end up at the Supreme Court based on the merits of it. And I hope that the Supreme Court does the right thing and says that Governor Abbott's doing the right thing.
Yeah, I think it was Mike Johnson led Congress. I don't know if it's H.R. 2 or H.R. 4. H.R. 2. Okay, the illegal immigration overhaul bill. Should that become the law? And do you think, should Trump win, it gets implemented day one?
First of all, H.R. 2, I'm glad you brought this up. H.R. 2, this is very important for your listeners. It's the strongest piece of border security legislation that's ever been passed in our lifetime. That's a huge statement. So that's a significant win for the Republicans on the House side. It provides a legitimate, meaningful policy pathway forward that, if implemented, you would see the reduction in the chaos and lawlessness almost overnight. It addresses almost every single significant loophole and issue that we need right now. And here's the issue is that H.R. 2 would force this administration to do certain things, like, for example, end catch and release, among others. That actually, and think about it, H.R. 2 was passed 10 months ago, mm-hmm. and the Senate sat on it. If the Senate would have passed it, Biden would have signed it 10 months. That was 10 months ago.
Right.
You would have already seen a reduction of about 60 to 70% of the chaos and lawlessness at our border. So Johnson, he held strong for so long, but now he's pushing a bill right now that was even worse than the Lankford bill. Makes no sense. We should stand strong, H.R. 2.
All right. Mark Morgan, always a pleasure having you on.
I got to have
informational.
Him on.
Oh, yeah. Because this issue's not going away anytime soon, and just have to pray for those people down there that are trying to protect our border.
I gotta have him on my show. I gotta have you on my show, Mark.
We'll get you his digits.
Let's do it.
All right, Mark Morgan.
Hey, look, and I know everything. I come on, I'm always depressed, depressing, but it's just the reality.
No, I know it's the reality we live because people voted for this.
Yeah.
All right, former U.S. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan, thank you so much for joining us, and he joined us on our Turnkey.pro answer line.
Listen to Dan and Amy on your smartphone. Download the AM560 mobile app today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
Good Friday morning. Okay, we're going to take a break from squatting. We're going to take a break from the invasion at our border.
Oh, Amy, we can't send them to Duckworth and Senator... You know, all the
what
senators.
Do you mean? What do you
want to
you
change? From the, was it the turnkey.pro answer text line, right?
Yes, yeah, speak up. I can't hear you.
I'm speaking right into the mic. It said, here's how to change squatter laws. Direct them to take up residence in homes of senators and representatives while they're away in D.C. Then watch how quickly Durbin, Duckworth, Quigley, Cassin, and company will change their minds.
Yeah. That's interesting, unless you're someone like Congressman Chuy Garcia, who has his gang-banging son still living in his house. Oh, did I say it? Yes, I did.
Be careful.
No? Oh, yeah. Oh, you think they're going to come after me?
You're
not
suicidal.
He already took my Twitter, so
bring it.
Come on. What else do you have? Okay. So, conservative case for remote work. Mm. See this building we're in?
Yeah.
This used to be a thriving mecca here. We had tenants on every floor, all six floors. There was close to 800 people. We had a deli downstairs that was open. I loved that place. If you wanted to get it, like the nice,
like
fresh
breakfast?
Omelet. Oh, they had great breakfast.
I was so
That's
hungry
gone.
This morning.
So now we have about 200 people in this building because of COVID.
Yeah.
And because people went to remote working. Mm-hmm. And they never came back, John.
Yeah.
Because some businesses realized... We don't need brick and mortar places, and we'll save money and save insurance costs and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But what about the culture of the cooler talk? With more on that, let's welcome to the program Frank DeVito. He's counsel at the Napa Legal Institute. His writings have been published in the American Conservative, the Federalist, and First Things Online. Good morning, Mr. DeVito. How are you?
Amy, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So what is the conservative case for remote work?
Yes, I love how you frame the issue because then you make me make my case. So this is great. So, you know, one of the things you said that I think gets to my point is, you know, what about the office culture, right? What about the cooler talk? And there's a need for that. This is a legitimate question. But I think I would back up a little bit. When we're talking about where's the culture, I would say that this is the idea of the office culture as kind of a communal social center of working people's lives. I think it's an extremely modern thing. And I think that we've lost the greater sense of where we've gone because of that. Right. So in the piece that I wrote at the Public Discourse, I argue that really before the Industrial Revolution, most economies were home-based economies, right? Like, it wasn't just, oh, after the Industrial Revolution, women left the home and went to work. Men left the home and went to work. Yeah, this was, obviously, you had farmers, people in property had to go into town or travel for work. But the norm was that most people work from home, which can kind of sound anachronistic, but it's not. Obviously, times are different, industries different. There are certainly jobs where you need to work in an office, in a place, right?
But right.
I think that with the emergence of remote work, especially for like what I call the laptop class, people like me who can actually do most of their work on a computer, the remote work phenomenon, especially for people with families, this creates an opportunity to rebuild family-centered economies and family-centered lives. As much as I love my coworkers, I would much rather spend most of my day around my family and my neighbors, like the people where I belong,
yes,
rather than, you know, a traffic-filled commute to be with my coworkers for more of my waking hours than I spend with my children.
Yeah, but what about it's destroying downtowns? I mean, right now in Chicago, 51% occupancy. That's it. And so the Quiznos, the other stores around there that feed people at lunchtime, they closed.
So yeah.
What's the future of our downtown areas?
Yeah. So my prescription is really that I think very particularly white collar and conservative organizations, I'm thinking a lot about like the think tanks and the places and the publications, the people that are drawing conservative talent and are making the case for rebuilding family life, that they should be the ones leading the charge about thinking how can we make this work. But I would say to that question, like, what about the towns? What about the shops that are closing? I think we're just there. People have seen the light, for better or for worse. I don't think we're going back to thriving cities. I wish I could be more sanguine about this.
Right, but it's over.
In New York, and I think it's done.
Oh, yeah. In New York, you went from 5 million subway riders a day to 3 million.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. A lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here's my question, because I work outside of the house. My wife she's basically all in the house. I mean, both our businesses are home based.
Okay. Do you share an office?
Yeah,
you...
Well, no, we have both have our own office. She has. I mean, she's there most of the day. I have friends who work from home. How do you deal? I mean, when you think about remote learning becoming the norm, how do you deal with that
remote
mental
working?
Right. Mentally, how do you? I just caught what you said. How do you deal with that mental balance of being home? From being out the house, 10, 12 hours a day, to now you're pretty much in the house 24 hours a day. How is one to
adapt to that?
Adapt to that, yeah. Good, thank you, Amy.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is just building habits, and I think this is where it's legitimate for employers to actually look at their workforce and look at the kind of employees they have and see if this is feasible for them. Personally, you just have to make the space. You know, it takes a while to reorient from, okay, I'm not leaving my house and going to the office. What do I do? But I mean, you need to wake up, you need to put on pants, you need to like be in a separate room and have a routine where you're transitioning yourself from home to work. I think it works. And then this is a good point. You know, like, what do you do with yourself when all of a sudden you're not out of the house for those 8, 10, 12 hours a day? I think this really gets to the heart of where are we as a culture, right? Because I look at my own life and it's like, listen, we have, you know, readers groups, we have church groups, we have community in our house and we are out of our house all the time. So I don't really feel the lack, like, oh my goodness, I'm not in the office, I no longer have a community or a social life. If that's your experience, I think we have a greater problem with the state of our society and what we do to interact with people.
All right, Frank DeVito, counsel at the Napa Legal Institute. His writings have been published in the American Conservative, The Federalist, and First Things Online. Frank, thank you so much for joining us. We'll definitely have you back.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Thank you.
He joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, the millennials,
yeah,
they don't want to work for 5 days.
And they want the 4 day.
Well, no, they want my, well, a family member of mine, she went 2 days and now they're making her go 3, looking for a new job.
Really?
They don't want to, but these are the kids too. They did their last 2 years of college online.
Yeah.
They've never known the routine of going to work, that's the social true. Aspects of that's being true. Around other people.
No, that's true. My daughter works from home.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, yeah, she works from home. So, I mean, I can't stay cooped up in the house.
No,
I got to get out.
I tried that, and then I became a non-COVIDian. I'm like, no, there's something wrong with this. Speaking of people who...
Did you wear a mask at home while you were...
Stop. No, it's bad. It's bad. I wish we could go back to the time machine, but Justin's not here to remind me of how psychotic I was back in the day. Okay, speaking of jobs, Kim Fox is going to be out of a job soon, and she chimed in on the... You know, the Cook County State's Attorney's race is still just too close to call.
Cook County election officials say mail-in ballots are still being counted after Tuesday's primary election. And the race for Cook County State's Attorney still too close to call. Eileen O'Neill Burke has about a 2-point lead over Clayton Harris III. And today, current State's Attorney Kim Fox spoke about the election.
Kim Fox audio. Here we go.
Not seen an election for State's Attorney this close in my lifetime. And so I don't think it's a referendum on an individual. I think we have, over the last 8 years, begun a really robust conversation around what criminal justice and reform looks like in Cook County.
Now remember, Kim Fox decided not to run for office again after serving 2 terms.
Amy, see, this is my point. Chicago, Cook County hasn't woken up. They're not going red. Because if they would have, Eileen Burke should have blew this guy out of the water. There shouldn't be waiting on mail-in ballots to determine who's going to be the winner.
Oh, and by the way, those will be counted up until April 2nd. That's why we'll know April 2nd who won.
See, that's election season.
Yeah.
You know?
What could go wrong?
You remember when you found out that night who won an election, Amy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they were doing it by hand. Countries,
I know. They do. All right. So we had Jim Allen, former communications director for the Board of Elections. He texted me, said, Illinois allows mail-in ballots to be counted if they were mailed on time, but arrive up to 2 weeks later, which is April 2nd.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania allows ballots to be counted only if they arrive by 8 p.m. on election day.
I agree with that.
And
that's how it should
that's
be.
That's how it should be done.
Yes.
If we're going to have this ridiculous mail-in ballots.
That's how it should be.
Because how easy it would be to go to a church
and
like see your candidates losing around like, you know, with exit polling showing that things aren't going well, get a bunch of people. At your church or at other places where people congregate, like do mail-in ballots. Let's go. Do mail-in ballots. And then you can drop them off. They have to be postmarked before midnight.
So why can't I just take envelopes and postmark them?
I'm sure.
Depending on how many votes I need. You see, there's no real... Look, the chain of custody just doesn't jive for me.
I know. There's no...
Who's
watching the integrity of the ballots that are being mailed in?
Because you know when
But Toni Preckwinkle doesn't like to lose, and she will not...
Yeah.
Queen Sugar is not going to lose. And Dan yesterday said she's not this great kingpin maker. Yes, she is. Yes, she created Brandon Johnson. When Richard Boykin voted against
and
the sugar tax, she got him out
of
his county commissioner. Yeah. She got Fritchie out of his county commissioner seat as well because that's what she does. And he beat Boykin by about 100 votes. Now he's the mayor of Chicago.
Fritchie's
so she knows exactly what she's doing, and she's more powerful than Dan gives him credit for.
Fritchie's one of the coolest cats you can ever meet.
Yeah. What's he doing now?
I don't know. I think he's lobbying.
Is he a lobby?
I think he's lobbying.
Lobbyist. Okay, so here's Kim Fox when they ask you to reflect on your career. And I love when people talk about themselves in the third person.
So getting back to the legacy question.
Yes.
Is Kim Fox's legacy that she just made this place a little bit more fair?
I think Kim Fox's legacy is that we've made it a bit more fair. Also, I should say, nationally... The field of prosecution has shifted. The field has shifted from Chicago to San Francisco to L.A. to Boston to Philadelphia to Manhattan. The field has shifted.
All six cities that stink.
That where we once were known as the false confession capital of the United States, we have led the country in the exoneration of individuals 5 out of the last 6 years. That once where we were the only office that shared felony level case data, every major prosecutor's office in big cities shared their data. That marijuana legalization has spread and prosecutors have led the forefront. It is one, I think at the end of this, I will come and surround myself with the number of books that have been written about me in this office. And people don't know that. There's several books that have been written about this administration. But we've been so caught up in John Catanzara hates Kim Fox. And I get it. He should.
He doesn't hate her.
He should. We don't share the same values and belief system.
That's what he
does. But that is the least of what my legacy will be. We've changed the field of prosecution. And yes, in the city of Chicago, we have made things better than when we found it.
No, you haven't.
John doesn't hate her. He hates her policies. Listen, I said this on my show last Saturday. If you've got the chance to hang out with Kim Fox, Kim Fox is really an amazing person. And I may cut some beef.
Her story is an amazing.
Just who she is. If you ever got to hang out and have a conversation with her.
Born and raised in Cabrini Green.
But her policies, I totally disagree with the policies that she's enacted. I think it's made Cook County and Chicago worse, in my opinion.
Well, it has.
Yeah.
And they can say, oh, crime is down, crime, bowl jive. Carjackings may be down for a week, but it doesn't matter. Armed robberies are up.
Right.
Smash and grabs, and now they're using their cars.
Right.
Like last week, somebody was on Oak Street, or was it Delaware, and they smashed their car into a high-end store, couldn't get anything, then drove away, and parts of the car are falling off everywhere.
Yeah.
So, no, her policies have made us less safe.
I agree.
And then she lists six cities that are absolutely horrific when
and
it
they're
comes
suffering
to crime.
The same plight.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. But I'm telling
homeless,
you.
Homeless, large, illegal population, more coming.
Yeah.
High crime. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to hang out. We were Edgar Fellows together. Jim Edgar, the former governor.
Mm-hmm. Edgar Fellows?
Fellows. He has this group where every year he picks leaders from around the state that come and convene at the University of Illinois in Champaign. And we all go and we just engage in policy. What's good policy? And we get to know each other. And I really got to know her. She was in my group. And I did when I was a legislator, I also worked with her office a lot. You know, because of, and I pushed back a lot against their office, but I'm telling you, you went out and hung out with Amy, you would like her.
Yeah. Last time I saw her, she gave me a hug.
Yeah. But her policies, no.
What's going on here?
No.
All right. And one more thing I really want to get to is about the Hispanic vote, because with all these people coming in, as you saw the invasion and the border and the 9.1 million that are already here, CNN is starting to wake up and realizing, dear Lord, Trump is going to get the Hispanic vote. Listen to this. This is Mr. Eaton. He is the political correspondent at CNN.
And this is one of the trend lines that I think really tells the story. That's the difference between this election and the 2020 election. So if you ask voters, who do you think would do a better job handling border security and immigration? What do we see? We see that back in 2020, it was basically a dead even split, right? Joe Biden was slightly favored on it, but not overwhelmingly. And of course, he slightly won the election, not overwhelmingly so. Look at where we are today in a Marquette University Law School poll that was put out last month.
Yep, it's going to be a fun ride.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
Open mic! Call it now! Open Mic Friday!
All right, it's that time of the week. Open Mic Friday. Call in with your crack pottery, concerns, questions. We're here for you. But of course, this segment is sponsored by the one and only David Kolsick from Turnkey. Mr. Kolsick, I'm sure you have Purdue winning the NCAA tournament, correct? Because you're biggest Boilermaker fan I know.
Well, there are a lot of us here in the Chicago area, and I always feel a little slighted when you guys do the score reporting and you report on everything Illinois, even like, you know, smaller teams in Illinois, directional schools, all good. But how about Purdue? I mean, there's enough people around here that you could report the scores. So anyway,
take it up with Mike Scott, because he would not. I don't even know if he reported that Iowa's women's team was a number one seed, which hasn't happened in forever. So
hey, David,
I got it. I got you.
No, but do you have them winning real quick? Do you have them winning the whole thing? Do you have them winning the whole thing, the tournament?
I've got Illinois going pretty far personally, and I have Purdue in one of my brackets, and I think I have UConn in another. But, you know, it's anybody's day. I just hope that Purdue gets by today. I'll be honest with you, because I don't want to hear it for the rest of my life that we lost to a 16 seed for twice in a row as a one seed. I mean, so I just want to get through today. I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of, you know, I got my lucky shirt on. I'm ready to go. So,
okay.
And as an aside, just as an aside, the person that you had on about the culture and all the stuff with the remote employees, I have to tell you, my company went completely remote, you know, whatever the day it was, March 20th of 2020. I think that was the day. And they haven't been back. I've got like five people in my office, and it's been a big cultural shift. But I will tell you that you can make it happen, and you can establish culture in other ways. So, you know, there's hope out there, and there's technology that can help, and we do that all the time for people. So it's a shift, and it's taken me a long time to figure it out, but it can happen. So anyway, I heard a new term this week. The word is called an apocaloptimist. By definition, an apocaloptimist is someone who knows everything's going to hell, but still thinks it's going to turn out to be okay. So I think I might be an apocaloptimist, right? So, and after I heard that new word, I saw a retweet by Elon Musk that quoted somebody saying, trying to help people understand what's going on right now is like going back into a burning building to pull someone out, only to have them keep punching you in the face and demand evidence that the building's on fire, even after they admit that they see the flame. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And I want to go back to the Cloward-Piven strategy that we talked about a few weeks ago. John, I think you were here. Mm-hmm. The Cloward-Piven strategy, you know, being outlined by these guys that saying that they want to have political change due to societal collapse orchestrated through crisis, or crises, or I don't know how to say that word. But anyway, the strategy seeks to, you know, hasten the fall of capitalism by overloading the government with unpayable national debt, which we're at, and methods such as unfettered immigration, pushing society into crisis and economic collapse. I think we're just about there. And although I can see it getting much worse as these invaders are being released from their shelters, it definitely all seems by design. And the more chaos, the more they can normalize things that shouldn't be normalized. Here's some things that fall under the category of things that make you go, like what's going on? The Supreme Court said that Texas can enforce their border and send people back. And then a few hours later, they said they can't protect their border. Kind of confusing, but right on point with this Cloward-Piven strategy. And then you've got crazy things that you're seeing in the media, or maybe you're not seeing. British flags are being flown at half staff, signaling a significant death in the royal family. People are speculating that it might be King Charles that's died, or maybe some say that William's wife, Kate, who passed away. And there have been lookalikes spotted of Kate since she fell out of public viewing some time ago. So the public over there is a little unsure of what's going on. And I'm not sure if that's notable, but certainly interesting. And then you've got Candace Owen this week coming out saying French President Macron's wife is a dude. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah, I did. I read that article. I'm like, I'm not buying that. Are you buying that?
And well, I don't know if I'm buying it, but there's certainly, if you can't produce a photo of yourself when you were 30 years old and younger, or one of you pregnant, you know, if you ever had children, I don't even know if she has children. So I think
she does with her first marriage, I think.
Does she?
Yeah.
But anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if there has been and are transgender couples in the world. I mean, I can think of a couple candidates right here, but you can imagine the pressure that you'd be under if the entire premise of your marriage was a lie, right?
Well, you guys all thought Michelle Obama was a dude, and I know she's not a dude.
I
went to East Bank Club with her. She's not a dude. And every time, like Sean, who does the afternoon show, you know, Sean from Elmwood Park, you know that guy. Like, yes. Sean, no.
Yeah, I know.
It's not what you think. So people have been photoshopping stuff for a while. Time. And I have to tell you, Kate Middleton, those two photographs that she photoshopped, one on UK's Mother's Day where she put her kids, and then she got busted by, of all people, the AP and Reuters. And so they retracted the video or the picture. And then we've come to learn that she put the grandchildren and great-grandchildren around Queen Elizabeth, and that picture was also photoshopped.
Really?
So something's going on.
Something is going on over there. Who knows, right? Who knows? Yes. And did you see that the judge has ruled that immigrants, I like to call them invaders, in the United States can legally possess firearms under the Second Amendment, right?
Yeah, we talked about
that. Maybe we should all just say, well, if you're going to let these illegal people have guns, then nobody should have guns. So could it be that this helps to shift the collective to people wanting to give up their guns? I doubt it, but it makes you go, right? And then I'm sorry that Dan's not here, but did you see that the Tennessee State Senate passed a bill that would ban spraying of chemicals for geoengineering in the skies? And there's also a company called Evergreen Aviation that admits to chemtrail contracts with the United States Air Force. Look it up. You can go to evergreenaviation.com and click on the link for the super tanker. And on that page, it cites weather modifications. So things are starting to come, you know, out like a dripping faucet. And people are being shown so many things that are contrary to what they believe.
Yep.
But you have to pay attention, you know, like, so I guess you have to do more than just tell people. You have to show them. So, and here's some other things that I see that, you know, make you go, hmm. People say there's no such thing as gender are demanding a female president. Some people are held responsible for things that happened that before they were born, and other people are not held responsible for what they're doing right now. Then you have illegal immigrant criminals are caught and released to hurt more people, but stopping them is bad because it's a violation of their rights. And people who've never owned slaves should pay slavery reparations to people who have never been slaves, at least not in the way we saw in the movie Roots, right? Remember in sixth grade or whenever was? And if a dude presents to be a woman, you're required to pretend with him, even if it's the First Lady of France, right? And it was cool for Joe Biden to blackmail the president of Ukraine, but it's impeachable. It's an impeachable offense if Donald Trump even inquires about it. And people who have never been to college should pay the debts of college students who took out huge loans for their degrees. Immigrants with measles, tuberculosis, and polio are welcome, but you'd better be able to prove your dog's vaccinated to go to the park. And Irish doctors and German engineers who want to immigrate to the U.S. must go through a rigorous vetting process for years. But any illiterate gangbanger who jumps the southern fence is welcome. $5 billion for border security is too expensive, but $1.5 trillion for free healthcare is not. And if you cheat to get into college, you go to prison. But if you cheat to get into the country, you go to college for free. And if you point out all this hypocrisy, it somehow makes you a racist. So nothing makes sense anymore. No more values and morals and civility. We're clearly living in an upside down world where right is wrong. Wrong is right. Moral is immoral. Immoral is moral. Good is evil. Evil is good. And we're murdering or killing murderers is wrong, but killing innocent babies is right. So if something makes you go, take note of it. They might be saying something. And wake up, America. You know, we're sinking fast. But if you're an apocalypse optimist like me, you still think we can turn it around, and I do.
Well, so you've got me onto the chemical trails because, you know, we're also in St. George, Utah, and all of a sudden one day there was just – I sent you the picture, didn't I, David? There's chemical trails everywhere. I'm like, that is not exhaust coming from an airplane. So why are they trying to rain down chemicals on us? What's the point of that? To get
sick? I don't know.
To thin the herd?
I don't really
what?
Know the – It would be really nice to know. I mean, it would be really nice. All these people should have flight plans and they should have tail numbers and they should be trackable to see these airplanes. I've seen some stuff, but I don't know if anything's real. And there's got to be a lot of people in on it because it happens almost every day. If you look to the sky and you see these big stripes, those aren't contrails. Contrails will disappear within, you know, 30 seconds to a minute or something like that. But they're spraying something. I don't know what it is. People say it's barium and aluminum. They say it's trying to block the sun. It's trying to create, you know, weather havoc, trying to create the narrative. Who knows? But all I know is I don't like it, and I just wish they would stop doing it. And I'm just calling it out.
All right. Thanks, David, as always. Have a great weekend. Go
Boilermakers.
Yes. See, we both said it at the same time. Go Boilermakers. All right. Let's go to our good friend Rich in Indian Head Park. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Amy. Hi, John. How you doing today?
Hey, what's
today?
Up, buddy?
What I wanted to say is all of this chaos that's going on at the border and across the country, there's only one person to blame, and that's Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. If he would have just closed the borders, no illegals would be coming over the border. None of this fentanyl would be coming over. And all these innocent citizens of the United States are being killed. Notably, the last one is this Lake and Riley. These murders wouldn't be happening. So he keeps saying that the country is in a great shape, and the Democrats saying how great of a job he's doing. He's ruining the country. He's destroying everything. When he has the right to just close the borders and stop all of this.
Right.
What do you guys think about that?
Well, that would be great. And yesterday, in case you missed it, Lake and Riley's father took to the House floor in Georgia begging Governor Kemp to shut down this illegal operation. Can you turn
her life. He was in this country, a man with an evil heart, stole her life. He was in this country and in this state illegally. My vision for every senator in this chamber is that you protect citizens from this illegal invasion. Governor Kemp, please declare an invasion to detain and deport criminal illegals so we can prevent future families from those tragedies.
And I don't know if you saw it, John, but Mr. Riley was on the Today Show.
Yeah,
the Today Show acted like they're politicizing his daughter's death to help Trump.
Yeah, I saw
No, he's just a father grieving who wants to abide by the laws.
His daughter should be here.
Right. His daughter should be here. And she's not.
And remember, Biden signed 90-plus executive orders day one, right? On the border.
Yep.
Dealing with the border. Yeah. I mean, the fault lies at this administration.
So take that. To Glenn in Orlando. Oh, hello. How's the spring break 2024 going?
It stinks.
Do you have a lot of the little kiddies with Disney World, or do you have some college-age kids, or both?
Well, kids are grown and gone, and I'm trying to be a kid in my heart, so I'm down here. But I am coming up for the event later tonight.
Oh.
But, you know, I began thinking about all these people, because I was in Fort Lauderdale for a day. I regretted that. And all this money they're spending in spring break, but how come they don't have any money to pay their loan?
Yeah. Well, you know, Biden's just buying votes again, so... Glenn, come up and say hi when you come into Chicago tonight.
I will do that.
Yeah, that's the Riley Gaines event. And by the way, it's at Belvedere Banquet Hall in Elk Grove. And there are a few tickets still available, more than a few. But you can come and buy tickets at the door if you'd like. Doors open at 6 o'clock and she begins speaking, I believe, at 7 o'clock, 7:30.
I wish I could be there.
I know. You should bring your daughter.
Yeah,
your daughter's play sport.
She wants to go. She wants to go to the movies.
What movie are you going to go see?
I think Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, Kung Fu Panda 12?
I
love Kung
four.
Fu Panda.
Four, I think.
Oh, we're at number four
I think
now?
That's what we're going to see.
That's a good. Oh, I love the Kung Fu Panda series.
Because I think Madame Web is a little too probably far advanced for her. She's only 11 now.
Yeah, let's keep it PG.
Yeah.
All right, so you know I coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been doing a good job. Some years... You got to teach skills, and some years you got to manage talent, and I'm doing a little bit of both. But there's one coach who made it to the NCAA March Madness, which is a big accomplishment. And what happened before he made it there is he got fired by his athletic director. Of course, I'm talking about Long Beach State. He claimed that that his firing would fire up the basketball team to do well. Well, they did finish strong. After losing five games in a row, they came back and won their conference championship to get a seat in the dance. And they did lose in the first round to Arizona. But somebody asked Coach Munson a question yesterday, because they have to give a speech or, talk to the press.
Mm-hmm.
This is the greatest thing ever because he's coaching for free. He doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah, I don't have to answer anything I don't want to because I'm working for free
today. So it's like a... You guys see the Seinfeld when George Costanza was trying to get fired and couldn't lose his job and still going to work every day and that's me. The opening statement was that it. What do we got going?
Yeah. I think you nailed it, Coach. We'll go ahead and start with questions.
Nailed it, Coach. He said, "I think you nailed it, Coach."
Good. Hopefully he'll land on his feet. But they did get creamed. It was a bloodbath by the Arizona Wildcats.
You know, I we haven't talked about much about what happened with Trump and Mar-a-Lago. And I mean, and what, 3 days, 4 days now left he has left?
What, you mean to come up with a 400?
To come up with 400-something
million dollars. I thought he was getting it from the Russian oligarchs.
Now, I got an audio clip here. I think her name is Erin Burnett. She had this lady on.
It is the Erin Burnett show.
Yeah, I had
Burnett
her,
out front on CNN.
I had her name written down, but
you
know, I don't know. I don't
it's
know what
Friday.
I don't know what I did with it. But anyway, Erin Burnett was talking to this lady who was basically owns a real estate luxury real estate company, right?
Okay.
And she was talking about how Letitia James is getting ready to start seizing Trump's property.
Yeah, Letitia James is eyeing some of his golf courses.
Yeah, just in was it New Jersey?
He's got the one in New Jersey. Yeah. Yes, that's the one that she wants to call Letitia James course.
So I want you to listen to this. It's about a minute long audio clip. Okay. I want you to listen to it, and I want to get your perspective on where you think Somebody missed something, and I want you to tell me what you think it is.
At least 30 days to get any of these properties sold. But the property that you alluded to, Mar-a-Lago, potentially that could be something that could be sold quickly. I think the valuation is something in the hundreds of millions, and I think there could be a buyer for something like that.
And that would be literally, if you're talking about doing that between now and Monday, that's picking up the phone, calling someone, and then literally writing a check.
Yeah, I mean, there could be plenty of international people who want to buy that property. I mean, there's properties that are priced at 150 and 200 million that are nearby that.
Oh.
And Palm Beach is like the NVIDIA of real estate. It's just shot up like a rocket. And people do want to live there. They've moved there. So I think that would be the best case scenario as to proper if he's trying to sell quickly. I would encourage that.
So, all right. Now, that's $240 million estimated. I mean, who knows? You know, he's a desperate seller. In this case, someone picks up the phone and makes that call this week. So I don't know what it'd be. That's still half of what it would be.
What's missing from that conversation?
Well, they said that Letitia James, she maintained that the property is only worth about $18
million. And that's why we're where we're at, right? Yeah, because of that, right?
I don't want him to sell his house, though.
Yeah, but
Barron lives there.
But she said for a quick sale, $240 million. So what would it go if he had time to actually sell it? Does it meet the number that Trump made the estimate, anywhere between $250 to a billion?
He didn't commit a crime.
Yeah, he did not.
It's just a witch hunt.
He did not. But we find ourselves here.
This is why I'm voting for him.
That's why I'm... Well, you were all in. Never stopped.
But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
No, wait. Finish your thought.
I forgot it now. I'm getting old.
We call that Newsheimers. Oh, let's go to Candace.
Oh,
Mount Pleasant. Yeah. Hi, Candace.
I haven't heard from her in a while.
Good morning. I love your guys' show on Friday. It's great. I am so thrilled this morning that you made my day because I've been traveling back and forth to Tennessee for like the last 10 years. And the chemtrailing down there is insane. It's insane. And what it's doing is it's drying out the soil and poisoning the soil, the water, the rivers, everything's drying up. And that's why they do it, because then the fires come. And did you see that there were fires yesterday in the Appalachians?
Did not.
I did not.
Then that further perpetuates their narrative of global warming. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And then they pass new codes, and then you can't afford to rebuild, just like California did. So that's what it's really all about.
Okay. Thanks, Candace. I know I've got to share this picture with you of
Utah.
Did I send it to you?
My friend Janelle.
I could not believe
the
chemtrails that were going on there.
My friend Janelle, you met her before.
Oh, yeah.
She's
a
big chemtrail person. Okay. Huge big chemtrail.
Joe in Naperville, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah, this is going to be the clearest, stark contrast between liberals and conservatives with those cigarette butts. The conservatives are going to say, how could you spend $10 a pack on cigarettes on those, you know, cigarette butts? The liberals are going to say, well, we clearly need more money for our smoking cessation programs for these migrants.
Yeah, I mean, but I got to tell you, and other people were tweeting and saying, a pack of cigarettes is $16-18 in Chicago. How are they getting money to, you know, to afford that? But Lord knows, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Very special. We have the Prime Minister of Ireland.
Oh, I love this guy.
From Ogden Dunes, Indiana. Good morning.
Amy, did you say you coach and you teach skills and you manage talent?
Yes, I did.
Well, I'd love you to manage my talent, lass, let me tell you. But I'm here to report. I could teach you some skills. I'm here to report there was a referendum in Ireland, and it was a 50-50 dead heat the day before. The polls said it was a 50-50. And when they counted the votes, it was the largest blowout in the history of referendums in Ireland. Did you hear about this?
I did not, but thank you for bringing it to our attention.
It was a woke versus anti-woke referendum. And in fact, the ruling party it was under me advocated people go for the woke side, and the enemies of us in politics in the government also told the people to go for the woke side, and it was like 89% on one of the issues, 89% against the woke initiative. It was shocking to change the Constitution of Ireland, you know.
Yeah. Well, all right. What are you, when are you heading back to Ireland?
Well, a lot of people say that about me, but I wanted to ask you if you think that this could be a harbinger of the Trump-Biden election results coming up at the end of this year, because everyone thought it was a 50-50 the day before, and then it's a huge blowout, and I, as the Prime Minister of Ireland, have resigned my job because I'm so embarrassed we lost so badly.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that, but we'll what are you going to do with the rest of your life?
I've started an airline called Diversity Airlines, a division of Gimme Dat Enterprises, and we are in the process. We're negotiating with the great governor of Illinois, J.B. Lizzo. He's talking about financing us.
All right, you have to... John Anthony.
We do not take any of these military trained pilots. We want to create employment in the difficult, distressed urban areas. We're going to train our own pilots, you know, people of color identifying as women, especially those with the untrained purple or green hair.
Did he say J.B. Lizzo?
Yeah, he loves J.B. Lizzo. He's the one who came up with J.B. All right. Prime Minister of Ireland. All right. I just sounded like a pirate. I was trying to speak Irish. Have a wonderful weekend.
Talking to the both of you, don't you know? Great talking.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, my God.
You've never heard J.B. Lizzo?
I've never heard him say that. I've listened to him, but I've never heard him say J.B. Lizzo. No, I can't get that out of my mind. I can't unthink that now.
Okay, let's go to Bob in Buffalo, girl. Because they do look alike, don't they?
Help me,
good morning, Amy. Nice to hear you, John.
Yeah, thank you.
For Dan. Let me offer this bit of WIND history of some anniversaries this weekend. I'm a longtime listener going back to my college days in the 60s. And then for a while. And then for a little bit, you guys switched formats and were a Spanish radio station. But then in 2004, formats and started doing talk show broadcasts with various syndicated hosts. But I can't remember exactly when you had a morning local host. However, this weekend, March 24th, 2010, it's the 14th anniversary of Amy joining with Big John Howell to begin broadcasting.
Congratulations,
Amy.
Thank you.
But continuing on, there's more history. Big John leaves you guys for some reason in 2014.
He doesn't have a job now, but I still love him. He was my first radio husband.
And they tried out different hosts, one of them being Dan Proff.
Yes, we know how it finally, ends.
And finally, again, this weekend, March 24th, 2015, the station officially hired Dan. So it's his ninth year anniversary.
Wow, Bob, you're quite the historian. Wow. Look, this is what I got for 14 years.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I was here.
No, you can have it, yeah.
Oh, you want me to have it?
Yeah, you can keep it. Put it in
Amy
your
Jacobson,
locker.
Though.
Bob, thank you so much. Our favorite engineer. Love you. Hopefully we'll
see you this
tonight.
Weekend.
Yes, all right. We'll
see you
tonight.
This weekend.
And again, a reminder that we do have extra tickets that can be purchased at the door for tonight's event. Riley Gaines will be at the Belvedere Banquet Hall in Elk Grove, and we will be there as well. So come one, come all. It's going to be a great event. Real quickly, Ralph and Wilmette, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just calling to say, as I was an election judge here in the mean streets of Wilmette this last Tuesday, and we did a marvelous job of very efficiently and accurately counting all the votes we had. It was an impressive show. However, what was disappointing was to see all these educated, intelligent, well-paid people march through here and vote Democrat by the thousands.
White guilt.
I don't know how. Very, very discouraging. But,
a lot of guilt in that.
Thanks, Ralph. I know. A lot of what?
A lot of white guilt in that.
So they vote because they're feel guilty.
Yeah, okay. They're rich. And the peasants, you know, most of them, the peasants, you know.
They feel guilty for being rich. A lot of Hollywood elites feel bad because they have so much money they don't know what to
do. These are the hate-has-no-home crowd and, you know, we welcome everybody. Oh, let's see you open up those big old mansions up there. Let's see.
Yeah, open them up. Let it rip.
Not all of them.
Let it cook.
Not all.
Ruth and Elgin, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
And John.
Hi.
Hi. I'm just wondering, you know, we were talking about the government with the border and everything, and I wondered why nobody looks at the second paragraph in the Declaration of Independence where it says that, you know, we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. And when a government interferes with that, then the people have a right to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying in its foundation in such principles, you know, organizing its powers, and so that the new government would be more likely to offer the effect, you know, in effect, their safety and happiness. I mean, if we have the right to do that, why doesn't Texas have the right to
enforce their state laws? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ruth, for the phone call. We appreciate you.
I mean, it doesn't actually say that. It says life, liberty, and the government's pursuit of happiness for you. I think that's what it says.
Oh, okay.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of government happiness. There it is.
Okay. Mike in Hammond, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, thanks to take my call. Amy, I got to love that snort that you get when you start laughing at that Prime Minister of Ireland.
Ireland, Kevin, yes.
But, John, my call was for you. I was on my way to work this morning, and I heard the election official from Wisconsin arguing against IDs for these guys, for voters.
Yeah.
But he's from Pennsylvania.
He'd be the first one infringing upon the Second Amendment, requiring us to get an ID to have
yep.
a gun.
Yep.
I mean, that's crazy.
I don't know if he is. He's a Republican.
I was on my way to work, couldn't call.
We don't know. He's, yeah. All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. And now we're going to close out with the one and only Chuck from Delavan, Wisconsin. Chuck, the floor is yours.
Hey, morning to you. Hey, hi to Matt and Jennifer from the Next Life Pub last week. Big listeners of yous. Hey, tomorrow night, Double Girls at Magpies. And then tonight, Foley's Karaoke. Your guest was mistaken. You know, when he said that you needed to gather around the drinking fountain back in the people, there was a term called, hey, what's a scuttlebutt? Well, that was when all the Navy soldiers would hang out all together and polish the cannons. So you do need to go to some place to go to work and not staying at home. So I think the guy was mistaken. Okay. Just saying.
Hey, Chuck, I want to come up and do karaoke with you sometime on a Friday night.
Oh,
I can't tonight because we have an event, but definitely want to do that.
Oh, it's hysterical. It's great. There's a lot of people there.
What's your go-to song? Quickly.
White House Road, and then Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name of.
Jeez, wow. Okay, all right, thanks, Chuck.
Violence.
It's a little aggressive. I like Korn. There's my Korn line. All right, thanks so much for making us part of your morning. Thanks to George Hoffman, who is kind of hard on you, but I love you to death. It's like family. And Quinn McCarthy, our executive producer. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.